What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10. Josh Rabick producing the show. We have a lot to get into. When we last left you on Monday, things appeared to be set for Major League Baseball. We also said, hey, let's wait until Tuesday, 5 p.m., which was the deadline that was being reported out there. Let's sit tight. Let's hang in there. Let's give it a little bit of time because we've seen so many different updates for each sport about what they're going to do, how it looks positive. They pull us in, and then they hurt us a little bit by ripping off the Band-Aid just a little bit to give us a little bit of pain where we, you know, you feel a little frustrated by that pain, but things have finally come together. It looks like Major League Baseball's opening day will be July 23rd or the 24th. And that is certainly a great thing for baseball fans, for the Philadelphia Phillies. And what we hope they can do, it is good to have baseball back with the 60-game regular season schedule. Location, again, home ballparks. That was a question for a lot of folks. Is it going to be in a different location? Or are they going to try to identify certain areas of the country where it seems a little safer, similar to what the NBA and the NHL are doing with the bubble? Well, Major League Baseball has announced again, 60-game regular season. Training camp starts, well, reporting starts July 1st. Training camp now is what, July 3rd for the baseball players to start to get things going. And Listen, there is no just rubbing away the stink that was caused by both the owners, Major League Baseball, and the players, and they're part of it. We can point fingers at who was more wrong with getting us to this point where things should have been already underway. We should be getting ready for a start of the season, maybe potentially a little bit sooner, based on the health and safety protocols, and that did not happen. So there's still a lot of stink on Major League Baseball. There's still a lot of questions where later on there are going to be some labor problems, potentially 2021, between the players and the owners. But right now, they have given us something. They have given us something to go off of. It is going to be pretty cool to see baseball back out there. While 60 games, it's not ideal, because we're so accustomed to a 162-game season, at this point, we'll take what we can get. I frowned at 48. I frowned at 50, 60. Listen, I know it's only 10 and 12 games, a little more, right? But it is what it is at this point, and we'll take it for what it is. There are a lot of rules that are now going to be in there because of the health and safety protocols. There are rules as to who the teams are going to play, where it would be geographical division based on a statement that was put out there. So, of course, the East versus the East, Central versus Central, and West versus West. So the Phillies, of course, will play the NL East and the AL East because of the geographical nature of everything, where it's a little bit easier for the teams to travel to these home ballparks and take on one another. We'll worry about season 2021 when we get there, but right now, 60 is what we're going to get. And I'm happy to have it back. I'm not thrilled. I'm not super excited. I'm just happy that there will be something for us to go ahead to lock our eyes in on for 60 games, letting them go through, get to the postseason, and see what happens. And, of course, we're going to see what that means for the Philadelphia Phillies. We wanted to talk to you. We've been throwing it around there, messing around as we would guess a lot of guesswork before things were finalized here between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. And one of the things that we were throwing around there as a possibility, and we'll get into it a little bit more as the show goes on, is a four-man rotation. I heard Mike talking about it a little bit. We were speaking about it last week and on Monday, Josh Rabick and I, and we talked about the four-man rotation, just trying to figure out if that's going to be something that will be implemented with a lot of teams. Or are they going to go five deep and just wear these arms out, right? You're going to have teams that are going to be pretty much knocked out in the first 2 weeks. They're going to make those adjustments, and then they'll go from there. Teams that will be in it, will they go with a five-man rotation after a certain amount of games? I think Josh wants to speak on that. And then chop things down a little bit and then go to the four-game, sort of like a playoff scenario, because you know how you say, well, oh, it's baseball, it's 162. You don't have to worry about every game because, you know what, the bad ones that happen, you can take a couple of them off and you'll get right back to it. Not in this case, right? You know how they say it's a sprint, right? Or it's a marathon, not a sprint. This is a sprint for 60 games, right? Run hardcore and try to get these W's. So, as we now know, 60 games, July 23rd, training camp starts on July 3rd, reporting July 1st for the players to return to their respective clubs and their respective cities to get their work in. The fact that they're going to have a couple of extra destinations for backup players in the event that the coronavirus does take over a little and you need replacement players. They're going to have it where a set of pool players are like the Phillies will have in their minor league area in Allentown, where they're able to have players that they can maybe call up or the way that they're going to have things work out, where you can work out in Allentown, you can work out up here, so everyone's not next to each other. But when it comes to the games, everyone will get back together. So a lot of work that has to be done, a lot of work that has been done. And we are finally here where we will have baseball, and it is a good thing. It is a thing to, once again, just get ready for something that we actually now can look to and say, you know what? July 3rd, we get to see spring training 2.0. We're ready for that. July 3rd, spring training 2.0, and let's have at it. It's finally here. Now, as we get to it, we have to also look into these rule changes that are out there. Not necessarily changes, just rules that have now been placed in baseball that we are not accustomed to as fans and watching. Players are not accustomed to. Players are creatures of habits. They have things that they are used to, how they go about their business, game days, post-game, in-game. They have stuff that they just simply do on a daily basis that works for them. A lot of that now has to be adjusted. Okay? A lot of it has to be adjusted. So here are some of the things that will be challenging with the health concerns for Major League Baseball over the 60 games that they're going to play. All right? The operations manual is 108 pages. We talked about the NBA, and they're 130, it was like 115, 130, somewhere around there. They have their health and safety protocol manual that is a big booklet, of course. Trying to keep things as safe as possible for the players, for the staff, for the managers, everyone involved. So here are a couple of the guidelines that are out there for Major League Baseball when they return. Guidelines, washing your hands, where you can shower, banning hotel swimming pools. As I look at Bob Nightingale's story, restricted to room service, to even standing or kneeling for the national anthem because of all the social issues that are going on in our communities, in our society right now, in this country, in the world. It is, there are going to be a lot of challenges that are going to affect the daily lives of the players, the staffs, managers, umpires, everyone involved. And we even learned that the mascots will also be impacted by this, as they are also going to be out there. So here's what we know. Spring training to again start July 3rd. Players report to their team's home ballpark by July 1st. The players will undergo immediate temperature check and two COVID-19 tests. A blood-drawn antibody test. Players then must be quarantined for 24 to 48 hours, awaiting those test results. And as long as they'll be sitting during the quarantine, they'll be required to complete a COVID-19 educational course before they can begin workouts. The pitchers will report first and then position players in a few days. All right, this is something that we expected. This is something that is going to be normal for right now. This is something that's going to go on Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, and later on the NFL, where you have to go through those checkpoints in order for a player to be cleared to get out there and start their training camp, start their spring training to get out there on the field and compete. Right? So we got that part. We understand that. That's not a big deal. That's just something that I believe that we're going to have to get used to for the remainder of the year, even if these leagues restart at the end of the season, at the end of the year 2020 in December for the NHL and the NBA. This is, as we say, the new norm. This is going to be the new norm for quite some time. So, no lounging in the clubhouse. We know that a lot of times players come in early, they get their work in, they're hanging out, they're together, they're around each other for so many hours on the road, in the clubhouse, even when they're at home, that they want to just be around each other. They want to lounge in the clubhouse. They want to watch television, listen to music, play video games, cards, talk, whatever it is. Stand at their locker and just go through some simulated practice swings, some simulated throwing motions that they may have. Can't lounge in the clubhouse anymore. Players can't come earlier than 5 hours before game time. They must leave 90 minutes after the game. There's no buffet, no food, only prepackaged food, right? Food is great, no buffet. They're just going to make sure you have the stuff that you need and no showers. So you are possibly 4 hours before game time. You get a workout and you get a good sweat. Then you have to dress, get ready in uniform to get ready for the game. Can't shower. After the game, can't shower. You have to put on whatever clothing you're going to put on. Generally some nice attire, right? Stand there among the media. Take the questions, answer the questions. Get out of there and just, you know, a nice amount of funk as you get back in your car and head home for a shower. This is the new norm. This is something that, you know, is going to have to happen. It says MLB would prefer players shower back at the hotel. All right. So now they all have to get on this bus. Again, extreme funk on the bus and go back to the hotel. All right, cool. It's just what it is. When players walk onto the field, they must stay away. Stay 6 feet away from everyone. That means your teammates, coaches, and opponents. The fraternization rule that has been ignored for decades will now be strictly enforced. Game start. Not all players, not all managers, not all staff can sit in the dugout. Some have to sit in the stands, spaced out. Not only seats, but entire rows, because there will be no fans. No more spitting. Tobacco is forbidden. You can chew. No sunflower seeds. Gum is permitted, but you cannot spit it out. Make sure you get that paper that you took it out of, put it back, boom, throw it in the trash. Pitchers cannot lick your fingers. As Mike pointed out during the show, they can carry a wet rag in their pocket, but no licking. That's going to be interesting. Hitters, no bat boys, no bat girls. You have to retrieve your own bat. Do your own thing. If you hit a home run, win a game with the walk-off, or a pitcher, pitches a no-hitter, act like nothing happened. You can get excited yourself, but you will not be celebrating with your teammates because you did nothing. Just go wash your hands and get ready for your post-game interview. Exactly.
The old man's
exactly.
Rituals.
The no mobbing of players, no Gatorade dumping, and no pies, no shaving cream in the face. All of that stuff is done. When you get to the hotel, whatever you do, according to this story, can't stop for a beverage or eat at the hotel restaurant. No, you will simply just get room service. That's just a little. There's still more that we have to give out to you guys who may not have read any of this, and you are just finding out all of the protocols that go with the health and safety aspect of everything in regards to getting baseball out there on the field. Listen, it's good to have it back. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not super excited. Maybe as it gets closer and we see them on the field and we see how things go, maybe that will spark that interest that we need. The same for basketball and hockey. Generally, I think most people are more excited about the NBA and the NHL. Maybe not in that order, but more excited to see them back than Major League Baseball because of everything that has now gone on off the field with the negotiations in regards to the money, millionaires fighting with billionaires over returning. Now we only have 60 games. All right, give us what you got, but we're not super excited. That being said, after hearing everything that I just laid out, maybe you've already read it, maybe you've already heard it on television, maybe you heard it on a show here on The Fanatic. You see where Major League Baseball is. The DH is here for 2020. That's a nice wrinkle, but don't get used to it because it's only for 2020. After hearing all the rules, the changes that are going to be in place because of the health and safety protocols, knowing that there will be a DH, a nice wrinkle. The fact that you get 60 games, a lot of stuff to it, the mess that has since been given to us from the players and the owners, where's your excitement level now with the game returning on July 23rd or the 24th? Spring training getting underway on July 3rd. 610-632-0975. And what do you think of all of these health and safety protocols that we have now laid out? Because just as difficult as it will be for a lot of the players to adjust to, and they'll have time as they start to practice and all of that, it has to sink in. It will sink in. And it will sink in for you. It will sink in for Josh. It will sink in for me as a fan watching it. What do you think of all of these things that have now been put in place that the players have to follow in order to allow for a season to happen successfully, and get things underway where we can still get a good product on the field that will pull us in on a nightly basis and have us, again, fill that void of missing our sports? 610-632-0975. Because again, I mentioned it on Monday. I know a lot of people basically said, listen, you know, you're being really pessimistic about things. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate the effort with the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball going through all of these hoops and jumping through all these things that they have to do in order to get the product back on the field, on the ice, on the court. But man, there's a lot of stuff that is just flat out going to be different for them and for us to watch what they give us out there on that field, on that ice, and on that court. I want to see it. I'm interested. But man, again, there are a lot of things that are going to change for what we know of sports. Of sports. The home run. Seeing them, again, a game winner, a walk-off. You have to just simply trot around the bases. Did they say anything about when you hit that home run, whether it's in the second inning or a walk-off in the ninth inning? Are you allowed, Bryce Harper, to now run around first base, slap five with the first base coach, roll around the third base, slap five with the third base coach? Because you just did something that you are, again, accustomed to, does that mean now that the third base coach is going to have to back off, back away from the base pad because you don't want to do something that's just basically second nature to you after a good play? When you have your gloves and your hat, after switching from offense to defense, you have to go retrieve your own things. I mean, listen, they're adults. They can do that. They're still humans. Go get your glove. But we oftentimes have seen where the player, position player, is coming in from the dugout and bringing teammate in the outfield his hat and his glove to get ready for them to, you know, get on the defensive side and do what they need to do. There's a lot of changes. A lot of changes they are going to get used to. We have to get used to all of that. What do you think of everything that has been put out there with the health and safety protocols by Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association? 610-632-0975. Is it too much? Once again, as we look at everything that has now been put in place for the players to get back on the field and get these seasons started. 610-632-0975. We'll get into, again, the Phillies and their rotation. What should their rotation look like? Should they go five deep to start off? Should they then knock it down to four with a four-man rotation once they get things going, once the season is underway, once they get their legs back underneath them? How should they go about it? Because you always hear the pitchers start off a little bit slower than the hitters. The offense will be there for them. The pitchers, it takes a little bit longer for them to get going. And if that's the case, maybe you do go five. But if that is the case, maybe you do shorten it, because at the end of the day, you're going to need that for, you're going to need your top guys to be in that best possible situation that they need to be in terms of being the best pitcher that they can be for your rotation, for your offense, for your defense, because you're going to need them. As these games start to dwindle down, if you are 0-3 to start off, you're like, man, I can't afford to, as the Mets start off 3-0, can I afford Joe Girardi to lose another game? Can we afford to lose if we're down 0-4? Can we afford to go 0-6? Nah, I need to get Aaron Nola back up there. I need to get Zach Wheeler back out there because we need a W. So we'll get into all of that as we start things off on this Wednesday night, heading until 10. Josh Rabick is producing. I'm Devon Givens. We are with you until then. The numbers, 610-632-0975. A lot of changes with the protocols to keep everyone safe in baseball. Where are you in terms of your excitement level with everything back? 60 games, but also reading all of these things are going to change the game that you know and love. 610-632-0975. Ian, we'll start with you when we get back. Everybody else, also 610-632-0975. Will also give you our side topic for the evening, something that happened 28 years ago. We'll mention it. We'll let you know what it is. We'll get you guys involved with your phone calls, the side topic as well, right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Josh Raby producing the show with you until 10. Looking forward to this one, of course, as always, looking forward to it. But because we have something to now look forward to overall, and that is Major League Baseball returning. Once again, we'll be back for a 60-game season and a lot of things to go through to get this thing going, and we'll see if it works, but it is, again, something to get ready for. How do you feel about it now returning? Everything that is out there with the rules, the fact that they can't do certain things on the field. I mean, listen, the showers and all, as we joke about it, That's the player's problem, really, where after the game, that has nothing to do with us. All we have to do is watch the post-game interview and see how things go. But those guys are going to run out of that place and try to go and shower quickly so, you know, they can do their thing. But there are a lot of things on the field with the celebrations where you can no longer do that. The fact that these guys are going to have a wet rag in their pocket, they can't lick their fingers. This is something that they are so used to. Again, players have things that are just second nature to them, things that they've done since they were kids, and now you're telling them to stop. You're adults, so you should be able to stop them, but it's going to take a while. It is going to take a while. So 610-632-0975, ahead of baseball, where are you right now? Is it going to simply take for you to see them on the field to get you ready for the season, to get you excited? Because we're so used to, as of right now, nothing for baseball, hockey, or basketball. We just simply have to wait. And once we see it happening, then we'll feel much better about what we're getting ourselves into. All right? 610-632-0975. And our side topic. So, before we start things off with Ian and everybody else, 28 years ago, the Orlando Magic selected Shaquille O'Neal with the first overall pick. It was the right choice. Great player, Hall of Famer. He helped turn things around for that young, right, that expansion team, that up-and-coming team in Orlando. Team up with Penny Hardaway. Later on, they had a fantastic duo getting to the NBA Finals in 94, losing to the Houston Rockets. Shaq then leaves a couple of years later, and things fall apart. But Shaq is Shaq. He is an all-time great in the sport of basketball. Fantastic, fantastic player, right? But one of the other things that he is a great personality, right? Movies, television, commercials, music, everything. When he wasn't stone-faced on the floor and barking at everybody when, you know, dunking on them, scowling after a huge play, he gave us a lot. From great interviews to the jokes that we would see, the pranks that we would see behind the scenes, seeing him on Inside Stuff, having a great time. Again, the movies, the music. Great personality in the commercials, which made him, as a big man, marketable. And even now, post-career, still very marketable. Where he has these insurance commercials and you're like, what? Papa John gets themselves in trouble because of the racial things? Oh, Shaq jumps in there and it turns things around for Papa John. Goes on TNT. And even though sometimes it seems like Shaq doesn't fit, it almost, even when he's, those nights that he's not there and they might replace him with someone else that will come in and sit in on the set with Ernie, Charles, and Kenny Smith, it still doesn't seem right with Shaq not being a part of that TNT crew. So, with him being a great player and certainly someone with a great personality that stretched post-career now for Shaquille O'Neal, we wanted to ask you as a side topic to give us someone in sports that had a fantastic personality along with the talent. 610-632-0975. So when you call in to talk about Major League Baseball, what they're doing that I still believe is going to be difficult to pull fans in, but I also believe there will be a bunch of people that will check in. A bunch of people that will check in. So, is there too much damage now done by Major League Baseball and the owners where you're simply going to back away or you're going to go all in on them? We want to ask you again, Shaquille O'Neal drafted 28 years ago today by the Orlando Magic, a great personality in sports. We're asking you best sports personalities out there. Go as far back as you want. best sports personalities out there. We'll get Josh Rabix. I'll give you mine as well as we start things off. 610-632-0975. And I will do this. I will stay in our city. I'm going to cheat real quick. I'm staying in our city. And I've mentioned his name already because I'm going to stay on that set with the TNT crew. As much as Shaq is very important to the TNT, right? TNT broadcast that they have as the NBA games get underway. And I'm sure we'll get those. Sets when we get back. We'll get that group back together once the NBA gets going. But the NBA on TNT, presented by, of course, Ernie, Charles, Kenny, and Shaq. I'm going with Charles Barkley. As soon as he was here, right? He came here. He was Charles Barkley. You could see he had a great personality. All of that turned into a great player, all-star, later Hall of Famer, gold medal winner, everything, right? Charles Barkley. Chuck is the man. Funny. When they were the Dream Team, they said, listen, not only was he the best, like the MVP of the Olympics as a basketball player for the squad, but he was also the person that everyone wanted to talk to because of his infectious personality. He was the one that, even though he was a national star, all-star already, big name for the Philadelphia 76ers, just traded to the Phoenix Suns, an ambassador for Nike, right? A spokesperson for Nike, an endorser. Okay? That man, they told him to be careful. Not everybody, be careful. You're too big, right? All these pros coming together for the first time. No college players outside of Christian Laettner. Nah, Charles is walking around Barcelona. Charles is like, forget that. We're going to the bar. All the stories that we hear about him in the city where he, in this town, where he buys everybody's drinks. He buys the whole bar, whatever they eat, food, all these things that he does. And he is a fantastic, fantastic, right? Fantastic broadcaster, commentator for the NBA. So much so that even though he doesn't watch college basketball, they pull him in for March Madness. That's how good he is. The 4 hours that he does with Mike, must listen radio, tremendous. You guys know what I'm saying. You all know what I'm saying. So we're simply just asking in honor of Shaquille O'Neal, drafted 28 years ago by the Orlando Magic, Hall of Fame player, all of that. He has a fantastic personality. Who are some of the best personalities in sports for you? So when you call in and talk about baseball and where you are, how you feel about the game returning, best sports personalities out there. There are a bunch. 610-632-0975. So Shaq to start it off. I'm going with Charles Barkley. Josh, before we get to Ian and Nate and everyone else, your best sports personality out there.
I'm going to go with John Daly. And the golf. Reason, yeah, I wouldn't, but think about this. John Daly is a household name. The guy won 2 majors. Brooks Koepka's won 4. And I promise you, more people know who John Daly is than they know who Brooks Koepka is from the shenanigans of hitting golf balls out of people's butt cracks, out of their mouth, all that stuff. And obviously the drinking, the loud outfits, everything that comes with John Daly. So I think from his wardrobe to maybe some of the extracurricular stuff, I got to go John Daly.
All right, John Daly for Josh Rabix, Charles Barkley for me. What do you guys have for us? Best sports personalities out there in honor of Shaquille O'Neal, drafted 28 years ago today. 610-632-0975. We certainly have some here in town. Plenty in all of sports. Again, go as far back as you want because we know there are some with many, many years on their names that you could also bring up. So again, 610-632-0975. Baseball returns. How do you feel about it? Is there too much damage done already for you to get excited about the game? Let's go to Ian, as promised, who's been waiting patiently to start things off with us, tipping us off here tonight on this Wednesday night. What's up, Ian?
Hey, what's up, man? You know what's funny? I love Barkley because he's wrong a lot, too. Though. Remember
he doesn't care.
I know, but you remember he said Warriors couldn't win because they just shoot threes, but he didn't realize they hit every three.
I know, and he says it, and even now he's like, look, after three titles that they've won, he's like, you still can't win by just shooting the basketball.
Oh, my God, yeah. He just realized how good they shoot it. But you know what, man? I'll give you a weird one, man. Like, my favorite player, hands down, was Brian Dawkins, right? But his personality fits my criteria because he's just a great human being. I love his spirit to talk. I know it's a little weird.
No, but even still, he has a great personality for what he displays on the field and then what he gives you off the field where he just is more like an introvert, basically.
Because you watch him on the field, I miss him, man. He was so violent. He was so, and then he's like so quiet and spiritual. Man. That's what I'm. But the baseball thing, I can't really get into it because it's just an elephant in the room. I just don't think they're going to finish because the way the virus is going around. So it's like, it's hard for me to be positive about it. But hey, one thing the Korean baseball, it's weird at first, but you do get used to it. It just becomes normal.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like Aaron Nola, I don't know how he's going to get away from licking his hands and stuff. I don't know how he gets
away from because he does it a lot.
Because, you know, in Korea, I think they quarantine. I don't think they go home. That's the problem. I just think they're all going to get it, man, the way it's going around. But that's just an assumption. But let me ask you a question, man. One thing about the NBA draft coming up, though, there's really no one in the draft this year, is there?
Not really that really knocks you, you know, knocks your socks off as someone who is huge or as a draft person, right? Getting ready for the NBA draft.
Right, but Sixers, you know what?
That'll be picking in the 20s again. There are names that a lot of people just simply won't know who they are.
But you know what, man? I'll tell you what NBA does. I wish NBA would go to 24 teams because you know why? With NBA, right, you don't have guys like LeBron James and Kobe coming in the league anymore. And when these guys do come in, they're just so dominant that they don't bring parity in the league. That's why I wish there was a chance they'd go to 24 teams and play 70 games a year. Because you look at the ratings this year, it dropped because the load management. Would you have a problem with that?
I like it. Listen, Ian, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you starting this off. I like it. I do like it at 30. I understand where a lot of people feel like there's just too many teams and too many players. Therefore, you're going to get a lot of bad product because once you go too deep within a rotation on the squad, that the team's just not good. Players are just not that good. I get it, but Ian, I like it where it is. I like the 30. What I don't like is how it's like the rebuild that the Sixers went through. And people know, if you follow me, you know that I was not a big fan of it. I don't like that part of the game. I mean, teams lose and that happens. But I want that to happen that's just natural, right? I just want that to be a natural thing where they're just not good and it just happens. But not because you're doing it on purpose and you're trying to, again, get that top player, Ian, that you're talking about. There's no LeBron James. There's no Kobe Bryant. But Zion Williamson is supposed to be that player. Zion Williamson brought a lot of excitement to the league when he returned to the floor. He brought a lot of excitement to the city of New Orleans. He did. Part of the reason why they extended what they extended here in Orlando to the 22 teams is because the New Orleans Pelicans being 3.5 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies and them wanting Zion Williamson on television. But I like where they are in terms of the 30 teams. I do think it's a good spot, Ian. I'm fine with it. I get what you mean about the players just simply not being good enough on the back end, but I like it where it is. 610-632-0975, and you pointed out how you're just not right there with Major League Baseball. And where is it too much damage? Is there just too much damage done by Major League Baseball where you cannot get ready for the season and the coronavirus where you have to wait and see those guys on the field? 610-632-0975. Also, the side topic, throwing it out there, Shaq, drafted 28 years ago today. Great player, as we know, Hall of Famer, one of the best bigs ever to play the game. We also know that he's one of the best personalities to ever do it in sports. So we're asking you to give us a great sports personality. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. Nate, we'll start with you when we get back. Everybody else follows right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6:47 on this Wednesday night, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at FamilyJewelers.com, South Jersey's Diamond Destination. Too much damage done by Major League Baseball and the owners for you to get ready for this 60-game season, even though it is returning. Where are you with how you feel of the game returning? 610-632-0975. And best sports personalities, past and present. Give us yours in honor of Shaquille O'Neal, drafted in 1992, right? 28 years ago, 1992, Shaquille O'Neal drafted first overall by the Orlando Magic. Josh went with John Daly. I selected Charles Barkley. Brian Dawkins for Ian to start things off. Where are you guys? Best sports personality, past and present. By the way, 2004, another a personality, some might call it a little quirky and a little weird, Orlando Magic, 2004, first overall selection, Dwight Howard, another Hall of Famer. There you go. How about that? Both centers led their teams to the NBA Finals. So how there's that for you. Let's go to Nate in Southwest on the Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
What's up, Wizards?
What's going on, man?
It ain't nothing much. It's too late, though, bro. Listen, like I told Josh, I'm not a real big baseball fan anyway. I watch it if it's on. There's no other sport on to watch. Mm-hmm. But, bro, like, I don't think people are going to be too excited for baseball right now. I just think it has lost its luster. Now, you might got a bunch of people out there that's really, really baseball fans. I'm just not one of them. But I like seeing pitchers strike out, bro. So, for us not to see that at all with a designated hitter all the way around, I ain't interested in that. I mean, you know, you got Jay Bruce to designate hit for you, so the lucky Phillies kept on holding on to him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not a real big component of the baseball thing right now. You feel me?
So you like watching pitchers strike out?
Oh, yeah. I get a kick out of that. I'm not even going to hold you. Yes, I do. I like seeing these dudes go up. Listen, when Nola up to the plate, I'll be happy. All right, we know this is strikeout. Let's move on. You know what I'm saying? So,
but what do you when you go back to like the World Series years, when you see what Brett Myers was able to do with his at bats, Joe Blanton hitting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was exciting.
Cole Hamels would get up to the plate, and you'd be like, all right, you got a nice swing if you know.
But that's my team. I'm cool. You know what I mean? That's my team. And we were in a World Series. So,
right.
Of course, I'm not rooting for them to strike out. You know what I'm saying? I want them to make contact. But, I mean, during a regular season, that keeps the game going for me, seeing these dudes strike bump. Somebody said Madison Bumgarner was a great hitter. I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy hits a home run.
But again, remember, it's for a pitcher is what they're saying.
Right. So, I'm cool with seeing a pitcher swing. I like that. Otani is probably one of the rare occasions where you'll see a dude that pitches the ball, plus he can come out and smack it right out the park on the first two or three swings.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you.
And you know, you stole my thunder with the Charles Barkley.
Oh, man. Did I? Oh, my bad, man.
I sent you that. I'm like, come on, man. Like, remember the other day, the ball took my joint right before I got on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, keep getting robbing me of the situation. But what up, bro? See?
Yeah. So give us another one.
All right. So look, I'm going to give you the all-time personality, period. Dennis Rodman, bro.
Wow. Okay, and we saw it on display during the Last Dance.
Absolutely. Yo, if this dude can tell Phil Jackson that I'm getting up and I'm going to Vegas and I'll be back in 48 hours, yo, your personality trump everybody's personality on the team, you hear me?
Nah, it is, man. And, you know, the Carmen Electra thing, the fact that he's like, yo, I'm leaving and
I'm gone. I'll see y'all when I get back.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's it.
I got to go get this boy. Yeah, Dennis Rodman is the all-time. I don't care who you put up against him. That's the person. I like Chuck because Chuck throw people out of windows and then he come back and do things for other people. You know what I'm saying? But that personality with Rodman, that it can't get Trump right now, bro.
Okay. All right. Listen, thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Appreciate it. You got it. 610-632-0975. Dennis Rodman, definitely a very, very good one. One that I hadn't even thought of because there are so many. I have some that are just sitting right here on the top of my head and then others that I know we're going to be surprised when we get these phone calls and people throw them out there on the phones and certainly on Twitter as well. 610-632-0975. But as a casual baseball fan that Nate is, and saying that the excitement, again, is just simply not there for Nate for the baseball season to start. That's the same for a lot of people, casual and diehard, hardcore baseball fans. Because the damage that's been done during this time, during the coronavirus, where the money comes into play too much and you guys can't figure out how to get back out there on the field and give you guys not only an opportunity to go out there and do this for yourselves, but also to go out there and do this for your fans that stick it out for you every season in a 162 game run, right? A run. And they go out there and they give you this. They give you this. So they're just simply might be too much damage done. But will that be the case when they step out on the field? And while they have a week ahead of them, there's going to be some stuff that happens in the NBA with preseason games that will air. You'll get a little taste. The games start on July 30th. Hockey starts on July 30th. We'll get a little taste of what the NBA will look like. We'll get a taste of what the NHL is by seeing the footage that is put out there and then having that whatever kind of tournament that they're going to have to start things off for the seeding and for the final playoff positions in the NHL, Major League Baseball might lose out. They might lose out. Is there too much damage that has been done? That even with the thank you guys for figuring this out so late, giving us 60 games. But is there too much damage done as a fan where you're just not all in until you see these guys out there on the field giving you a good 60-game product? 610-632-0975. Best personalities in sports, past or present. Shaq, drafted on this date in 28 years ago, 1992, by the Orlando Magic. Great personality. We're asking you for the best sports personalities out there, past or present. 610-632-0975, just to give them to you quickly. Charles Barkley, John Daly, Brian Dawkins, Dennis Rodman. Those are the first four to come off the board for you. So, hey, there are plenty out there. Again, I have many on my mind. Where are you guys? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick with you until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
7 o'clock here on The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick, producing the show, talking Major League Baseball return. Too much damage done during the quarantine and during the coronavirus shutdown for all of us for you to get involved in Major League Baseball's return. 60 games. get started on July 3rd with 2.0 of the spring training. They report on July 1st. Games get underway the weekend of July 23rd, 24th. Where are you in terms of your excitement for Major League Baseball getting back out there? 610-632-0975. Or is it just simply too much damage for you to get excited about the product getting back out there on the field? I'm interested in seeing it because I love sports. But I definitely do not like how things were handled. I don't like the way that things went with both sides, the millionaires and the billionaires, arguing over things when so much is going on in our society. When we talk about money, so much going on in our society where people are without work, people are on unemployment, people are still waiting to get that call back from the furloughs to return to work. And yes, while they may be collecting the unemployment, at the end of the day, they don't know what their overall security is going to be because of the shutdown, right? Because of the shutdown. So it leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, myself included, with how they handle things. More so for the owners than the players for me, because as we've said plenty of times during this entire thing, what they're missing out on, yes, huge numbers, right? Big time numbers with no concessions, no parking, no ticket, right? No gate money, none of that stuff. But they're super wealthy. Yes, they're not adding on top of your wealth. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. It's what it is. 610-632-0975. Also, as we talk about all the Major League Baseball stuff, and we'll get into the Phillies and their rotation, see how things go for you. Shaq, 28 years ago, selected by the Magic, first overall. Great personality, as it turned out. Best sports personalities, past or present, for you. Just give us one when you call in to make your point about Major League Baseball and its return. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Mike jumps in from Chalfont right here on the Fanatic. How you doing, Mike?
Hello, sir.
How you doing, man?
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Thank you.
Well, I just want to say that I grew up on baseball. I'm all about baseball. And I'm all about, like, I'm very ADHD. And I want to step over the line. I don't want to hit the line, you know. And I got, baseball is very superstitious to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the spitting thing and everything without that, I can't control that. It's just going to happen. So for that, that's just ridiculous. And I find it funny. And the point that I wanted to bring up is about the movie Major League and Ricky Vaughn,
yeah.
The Wild Thing.
Right.
And besides that, that was one of the guys I wanted to bring up. And then Mitch Williams also, like, that guy came out of nowhere. And the craziness around that, like, that guy, Mitch Williams, Wild Thing.
Yes, he was.
Ricky Vines, like, and then to make a movie about it. But I grew up on baseball. I love baseball my whole life. And I'm very superstitious. And I can't see anybody that grew up on baseball not doing these things right now, like chewing flower seeds, then what are you going to do? Swallow them? We're not doing it? You got to do it. Like, not changing your jock strap, like, things like that. It's just...
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's something, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that. Those types of things, I'm sure they can go into the bathroom and do that, but they just have to go one at a time, I'm guessing, and go into the bathroom and change whatever they need to change. I'm sure that's something that they'll figure out. They'll figure that out. So, I'm not worried about that. And listen, the tobacco, the sunflower seeds, all of that, it's superstitious for a lot of people that do it. That's just something that they are accustomed to doing. Something that they're accustomed to doing. It will take an adjustment. It will take an adjustment. Simple. 610-632-0975. Well, when we look at the what the Phillies are right now, where they are, I don't think with myself, I won't speak for Josh, but you know, for myself, I don't think they'll have much of a problem with their offense. Even last year when they got off to their start, the offense was rolling. That was coming off of regular spring training going into the start of the season. They got off to a decent start. It looked like, hey, they might surprise us again and do some really nice things, but we all saw that it leveled off to what it did. They did not make the postseason. Gabe Kapler is fired. Joe Girardi is now here. The hitting tailed off, but initially that wasn't a worry for many baseball fans out there. The issue for the team, for many, you did not have enough when it comes to your pitching staff. Did not have enough. Right? Aaron Nola, yes. Arrieta, Pivetta, Eflin. You start to say, well, what's going on? Where else can we go? What is up with this pitching rotation? They did not do enough. They didn't do enough. Well, now you have Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler as your 1 and 2, however you decide it goes. And we know Aaron Nola will probably get the ball first. Who's the better pitcher? Some will argue it's actually Zach Wheeler. But the point is you now have a 1-2 that you can feel confident about having going back-to-back with each other out there for these starts. Joe Girardi can feel comfortable on games 1 and 2, throwing those guys out there. There's going to be a lot of adjustments, not only with these health and safety protocol things, but also the DH here, where we got the first, where Nate talked about the pitchers not having the hit, and you have the DH. Now you have these pitchers that can just focus on pitching. They don't have to worry about going out there and picking up a bat and facing their opposition, right? The pitcher. Now they have to only focus on their job. They do that anyway, but that's what they focus on. But you're going to have adjustments with your lineup. You have to be careful about giving guys days off. I don't know, or at least I didn't see, Josh, maybe you did, how they're going to squeeze things in a 60-game schedule. Yes, you're going to have off days to travel. How much time off are you going to have? How much time off are you going to have? So what are they going to do with the pitching staff? How are they going to use their rotation? Are you going to go traditional five? Or for this thing that they're going to have, a 60-game season, are they going to treat it like the postseason where you shorten it very quickly and only go with a 4-man rotation? Will they get really cute and sometimes decide we're only going 3 when it comes to how we're going to use our rotation out there as we get ready for this series? What are they going to do? So right now you have Nola and Wheeler. Those two are, if you will, locks with how you feel about them, that you're going to get those two and at least get a good outing from those two guys. Can the offense back them up? Can they do their part? Will the defense back them up as well? After that, it's Arrieta and Eflin. Who's your preference? Is it going to be Eflin or is it going to be Arrieta? Some are already done with Jake Arrieta. Some want to see Spencer Howard and put him out there. Is this the right time for a young player like Spencer Howard to be thrown into the fire when you might believe that you are a playoff team? And is it wise for us to put this young guy out there in a rotation of 5? Is he doing well enough where you might have him at 4 to start the season off, but things start to tail away? Then you have to dip in and get Eflin back out there, however you decide to do it. But right now, as I look at it, and we'll get Josh's thoughts on this, because I think I know where he's going, and I agree with him, but I also, something just tells me that at the end of the day, teams, and specifically the Phillies, will probably go 4-man with their starting rotation because of the pressure that is going to be on them. Joe Girardi doesn't have to win this year. I get it. But he does have a fantastic lineup still when you look at Hoskins and Harper and, of course, Real Muto, Kingery, probably, you know, now at second base, as a regular second baseman. Segura, put him at third. Didi Gregorius that you brought in, if he's going to play because the health issues, he can probably decide to back out because of the kidney issues that he had in the past with Major League Baseball not holding it against people who have pre-existing conditions that will make it difficult for them to play baseball right now with the coronavirus out there and the fear of contracting COVID-19. Jay Bruce is the DH. Andrew McCutchen returning. The lineup looks pretty good. Joe Girardi will do his thing, we think, with the lineup. The pitching staff could be a big-time question for a lot of people with this baseball team. If they can go far, it's going to be on the arms of their starters. So if you look at it now, guys, do you prefer them to go four-man or go traditional five? Because you may not trust that guy that's on the back end, that fifth starter, potentially Spencer Howard, maybe Zach Eflin. However you slice it, Wheeler, Arrieta, and Nola. Then you have Eflin, we think. Do you feel better with a four-man rotation or a five-man rotation for the Philadelphia Phillies? Because I think at the end of the day, and it might be like game 20, maybe even game 15, where they're like, all right, we're going four from here on out. Let's get this thing rolling. 610-632-0975. We'll throw that along with the conversation of Major League Baseball returning with all the new things that are out there, health and safety protocols, the things that they can and cannot do. And overall, is there just too much damage done with Major League Baseball and what they've done during this hiatus to pull you back in right away? 610-632-0975. Josh, as a baseball fan, four-man or five-man rotation, what's your scenario here?
I like the idea of eventually working towards a four-man rotation, especially for the second half of the season. The first maybe 20, 25 games in maybe that area, I'm probably looking at a five-man rotation. And a big thing is I do want to get a feeling for Arrieta. He's probably locked in as the number three guy in that rotation to start the season. Eflin's probably going to be number four. But you also want to see Spencer Howard because you just don't want him to sit out for an entire season as your number one pitching prospect now. I don't trust all three of those pitchers, though.
On the back end that you just mentioned?
Yeah, I don't fully trust them yet because I don't know. Arrieta could be cooked. I don't know. Or he could be a guy who, you know, he's coming into a contract year finally healthy.
And so he's going to look like the Cubs Arrieta again.
I'm not going that far. I'm just asking for him to do something like Randy Wolf when he was with the Phillies, where you can get some quality starts. Randy Wolf a lot of times got you the six innings, maybe gave up two or three runs, and he at least got you there, got the quality start. You were in the dance. You had a shot of winning, but you didn't look at Randy Wolf and said, he truly has ace-like stuff. He's going to go 8-9 innings.
Right.
So my idea is I figure out a little bit of the back-end rotation. I'm not putting the handcuffs, and I'm not babying Spencer Howard.
Okay. All right.
He has it. He needs to get the reps. I want to figure this out, and then once you can, now all of a sudden I'm looking at three and four that I can have full confidence in going down the stretch with that rotation.
Okay. All right. I mean, listen, a young right-handed pitcher that you can argue, you can throw out there as someone that you just simply want to see what the guy has. This is a different type of season. You can afford to put him out there and as a young pitcher, see what he has. No pressure, just go out there and pitch. Even though there's a little bit of pressure because of the fact there is a 60-game season, you believe that you are a team that can win and maybe steal a early playoff run, maybe steal a spot in the postseason, maybe steal a deep run and get to the World Series and do something. And do something big in the city during a tough time. 610-632-0975. I'm really curious to see how Joe Girardi goes about his business with this one, because this will, I don't think it's just exclusive to, as we have this conversation, Philadelphia. This is going to be a conversation for all the teams in Major League Baseball at some point if you don't feel like your rotation is deep enough, strong enough, where you might have to make that adjustment. And when you make that adjustment, jump in there, throw these guys out there and shorten it for a potential postseason run. Or to your point, maybe go out there and say, you know what, even though we are in the mix, I still want to see my young guy and see what he can do. We can shorten it where he only goes six. If he starts to get a little shaky, we can get him out. We will have some guys in that can be those long relievers, if you will, who are, you know, fringe starters that can give you a couple more innings before you start to go into your bullpen and get those guys out there. So I am curious to see it. I want to know what you guys think. 610-632-0975 of how you would do it with the 60-gamer. Five-man rotation all the way or four-man rotation to really start things off and just roll from there with your best.
Let me ask you, Devon, since you were talking about the four-man rotation. Now, obviously, there's question marks, uncertainty.
Yes.
What spot in this rotation do you think you need the answer the most?
Arrieta. You need that number three to be as close to a sure thing as possible as a number three. Like you said, with Randy Wolf, you need him to be just a solid pitcher for the team that once Nola and Wheeler do their thing, especially in a three-game series, your first two, they handle their business. All right, this is that middle point here where we want to know, all right, once these two guys are done, can we count on you? Do we feel like, all right, guys, we need seven runs tonight?
Yeah, and you probably know the ceiling with Eflin and Howard, but you don't know what you're going to get.
Yes.
And the chances that both of those guys are going to be on point this season is probably unlikely. So
yeah,
to your point, you answer number three, that kind of helps you out at four.
You're going to have questions at four and five. You are. You don't want to have many questions with your number three, especially when it's someone with the track record, the history, the career of Jake Arrieta. Once, as you just pointed out, you don't need him to be the Cy Young winner again. It would be nice, but you don't need it, right? You don't need it. So just go out there and be solid. Be consistent. Be someone that we can count on. We don't need the 22-6 Arrieta again, although it would be nice. You'll take that. I mean, you're not going to get 26 starts out of him, but I'll take a, you know, somewhere around that percentage of 66 win percentage as a number three. Give me that as a number three. That fringe spot at three behind the two sure things. And in front of the two question marks that you are going to have in that five-man rotation.
Yeah, if he can get you six innings and he can keep you in the game, I mean, that's really all you need to ask for.
That's it. And you might feel comfortable stretching him a little bit if that's where he is, right? I mean, when he's given you 10-11 and 18, 8-8 last season, 24 games started and 19, this is not going to cut it. They need better. They need better. And it helps out, though, again, that he does not have that pressure of a two, but he still has that pressure of a three in a sense because he has to be that bridge to get you to the back end. And even if they decide to go shorter, hey, Jake, you've been so good that when we go short, we're going to come back to you. We're going to come back to you quicker because now we're going without that fifth starter and we know we're going to be able to need you as we do our thing here. And that's where it is for me. I mean, the guy has a no-hitter in his career. He has a Cy Young. He has been a very good pitcher in this league, and he has not lived up to the contract that he received from the Phillies now, what will be three off-seasons ago.
Do you have any concern that he's completely lost it? And the reason I give this comparison, I usually don't like going between sports, but you remember when Peyton Manning, like one year he went from being a top-three quarterback to not even being a top-20 quarterback, and that huge drop-off, it seems like that happens in baseball a lot more, especially after the steroid era, where you see guys in their 30s, one year they just don't have it anymore. Does that kind of bother you? Is that a question that sits in your head?
Yeah, it does. It does that he is somebody, because we've seen it now where we talk about consistency is not there anymore. Or you say he's consistently bad or consistently inconsistent. Whatever you want to say. That's where he is right now as a starter in Major League Baseball. And on a team like the Phillies, where they might need him to do a little bit more than you would want, then yeah. But I certainly hope that he is in a place right now where, it's not even right now. First of all, I hope he's in shape once they get rolling. Secondly, I just want him to be the pitcher that they thought they were getting when they paid him that nice paycheck. They brought him in with all that money. They gave him that money. He is underperformed as a player in this Phillies uniform and in this rotation. 610-632-0975. So we're asking you guys, what would you do if you were the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies? Would you try to go 4-man rotation, or would you stick with the traditional 5 and then shift to 4 a little bit later on? 610-632-0975. That goes along with the conversation we've been having about Major League Baseball returning. Is there too much damage done already for you to jump in right now as we await them to hit the field? Side topic, Shaquille O'Neal selected first overall 28 years ago by the Orlando Magic, Hall of Fame player. We already know that. We also found out as the years have gone on, and even post-career, that he is a tremendous personality in sports. We're asking for your best sports personality, past or present. We've had John Daly, Brian Dawkins, Dennis Rodman, Mitch Williams, Charles Barkley for me. We'll get to the ones on Twitter as well. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
727 here on The Fanatic. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick on this Wednesday night. 610-632-0975. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with 3 locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. One of the changes, of course, that had to be made for this 60-game season in Major League Baseball, 40 games versus the NL East, 20 versus the AL East, and I believe it's going to be the 40 overall, five each in each spot, each city. So, of course, the Phillies will certainly take on the New York Mets. They will go at it with the Marlins, Braves, and Nationals. And when they shift to the AL East, the Blue Jays, Rays, Yankees, Red Sox, and Orioles. They have a tough run of it. So whatever you feel about this squad, feeling good, and we're not trying to knock them right now, right? You're trying to be positive. You're trying to look at things, trying to say that, hey, even when they have to use Vinny Velasquez, it's going to work. Right? Man, Blue Jays, Rays, Yankees, Red Sox, and Orioles. Rays are a decent team that nobody pays attention to, right? Blue Jays are a nice squad. The Yankees, we know about the Braves. Marlins gives the Phillies problems. The Mets are good. Nationals are the defending world champions. They're going to have their work cut out for them. They really are. You go back to last season, The Yankees won 103 games. The Rays, 96 and 66, second in the East. And once again, they're 96 and 66. They make the postseason. Nobody pays attention, even though they made the wild card. Nobody paid attention to the Rays because, once again, it's the Rays. Remember when the Phillies beat the Rays in the World Series and everyone wanted the Red Sox, which I did as well, but they just beat the Rays. It wasn't a big deal. They were supposed to beat the Tampa Rays. Yeah, they were supposed to beat them, but they were in the World Series. This team is good. This team is good. Toronto might be better. Boston, we'll see after everything that has happened in the offseason where Cora and all the mess, losing out on... Man, how do you make that move, Mookie Betts? We still talk about that. But that being said, they're going to have a tough go once the season gets underway because, man, it is tough. It is tough. 610-632-0975. Elbow Shaferi says, I can tell you who doesn't have the best personality in sports, Kendrick Perkins. Oh, he's blocked by Kendrick Perkins. I've said it before, Kendrick Perkins will come at people, but I'm not a big Kendrick Perkins guy as an analyst. I'm really not a big Kendrick Perkins guy. And in the very beginning, I liked him, but then it seemed like he turned into I gotta make some waves. I have to make some waves in order to get this respect as an analyst. I had the respect on the floor. I was an enforcer. I was a defender, a rebounder. But now this is a different animal, and it's going to be tough to crack a lineup here. And Kendrick Perkins, I don't know. It's just not my kind of gone away from me where somebody that I really like to listen to in the very, very beginning, and then him and Durant going at it back and forth now where they were friends. I blame both of them. But Kendrick Perkins does say some weird stuff. But good one. Tell you who doesn't have the best personality in sports. Elbow Shaferi says Kendrick Perkins. Dennis Rodman for Football Guy 971. We had that on the phones as well. Big Poppy. David Ortiz for Mick here on Twitter. Sedated Maniac says Donovan McNabb. All right. Ronnie Romance, Rev Ronnie, 98. Haven't heard from Ron in a while. Hope he's doing well. Hope you're doing well, Ron. Jalen Rose, a great personality in sports. He had personality as a member of the Fab Five, had some personality in the NBA, and he has certainly turned himself into a very, very good NBA analyst. Not only NBA analyst, but he covers sports in general as someone that ESPN relies on big time. Big time for ESPN. Jalen Rose is a very good one that I had not thought of, Ron, and I appreciate that one as well. Suave Capo, Ramid, best personality. Allen Iverson, that was one that was sitting there for me that I thought of, was waiting for that one. Almost certainly felt we would get that one very early, so we get AI as a great sports personality. Also, 610-632-0975. Plenty more here on Twitter. I see a few that I was also waiting on to share with people that I had. That if you did not, let me give one real quick for myself. Let me give one more choice. Let me just throw out there one more choice. How about Deion Sanders? His name was Prime Time, right? Deion Sanders, Prime Time. Just basically He's two different people. He's Deion Sanders, and then he's Prime. And then we stop calling Prime Time because you call him Prime. Okay? He's Prime. Deion Sanders, a great sports personality. I get one on the text board from my cousin, Peyton Manning. I agree. You didn't really know it if you watched him on the field, but then you would see him in interviews. You would see him on the sideline kind of yucking it up with his guys when they have a game in hand and it's a blowout. See him on Saturday Night Live where he can carry his Saturday Night Live show. The commercials. Peyton Manning is a very, very good one.
It's funny, too, because you see Eli do something similar to him, but it's just not the same. It doesn't land the same because there's a certain charisma that Peyton has that Eli just lacks.
Yeah, but Eli's not bad in some things.
Eli's funny in that dry
the
way.
Yes, the dry humor for Eli is very good. His comebacks for things are very good. Like last season before he retired, and of course he went to the bench, Daniel Jones taking over, and someone was saying, you know, something about him. And I think it was Odell Beckham Jr. when he left. And he kind of, his comeback was, to your dry humor point, was on point.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was dry. But he got him.
Well, you remember when the boat trip happened or whatever with the wide receivers, and Eli, he responded to something like perfectly. He said, I was there as well. They just won't let me in the photo without a shirt.
Right. The dry humor from Eli Manning. So again, just simply let us know when you make your phone call about the Phillies, about Major League Baseball returning. Best sports personalities out there. Shaquille O'Neal. Certainly one of the all-time greats as a sports personality. He was drafted by the Orlando Magic 28 years ago. So give us one when you call in to talk about Major League Baseball as well. 610-632-0975. Kevin on Twitter. Kevin Todd, Philly versus everyone with the number one at the end, not the word. With that lineup, they have no less than a puncher's chance to win the division. The fact that literally half the season is against teams they'll be battling with is all you can ask for. We just need to see the offense we should have seen last year. Yeah, Kev, we're going to see that offense, I think. You're not going to get it for every game of the 60. I think, though, Kev, I think we can count on the lineup. It's the pitching staff that's the concern for me. That's the concern for me. Seriously. The lineup, yes, they're gonna have their tough ones, Kev, because you simply look at it and you have to look at the other side also and think about what the staffs are for the Braves, Nationals, Red Sox, Yankees, Rays, Blue Jays. We have to look at that. We have to pay attention to what's on the other side as well. We have to give those guys credit because they have a job to do also. The lineup is not going to hit every time. What will the pitching staff look like? Again, all we hear when things get underway is the bats are always hotter at the start. Bats are always hotter at the start. Okay? But what about the pitching staff? Can they catch up? How long is it going to take for them to get to the point where you can count on those guys every single night when you give them baseball? Seriously, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. So I appreciate it, Kev. I hear you, and I certainly understand where you're coming from. But I think that the lineup, the batting lineup, will be a little bit ahead of the pitching staff once again. I can't wait to see, with this time off, we've seen photos and we've seen videos of guys working out. You can only ask for so much because they are unable to do certain things due to this coronavirus and the lack of resources that they have to go out there and hit as position players and then pitch out there. But you know, guys put together a simulated mound wherever they were. They have, if they aren't in apartments, they have their own properties, they have their own land, if you will, where they could potentially set up something, a makeshift mound, and go out there and get their work in. Just like we've heard from the NBA people, the NFL people, where they've had the coaches speaking about their Zooms that they've had, and with the Zooms that they've had, you know that they've been given some instructions by the pitching coach, by Joe Girardi, by the coaching staff in general. This is what we want you to do. Stand in shape from the medical people. This is what we need you to do during this hiatus, during this time off, to keep your arms loose, to keep that bat hot, to keep things going overall. That's what you want to that's what you hope to see when these teams return. 610-632-0975. Oh man, I love when I see this. As you know, my cousin jumps back in, Peyton Manning, and says facts about Eli. Appreciate that, cuz. See this would jump up on my Twitter timeline about an hour ago, but the university and the squad responds with the eyes. The emoji of the eyes 6 minutes ago. Fox College Hoops. College basketball on Fox. You know where I'm going with this. No Big East team has more wins in the last 10 years, than Nova basketball. The second, Josh, let me give you this before we go to break. 610-632-0975. The second highest win total in the last 10 years, 231. If you had to guess, 231, Creighton. If you had to guess, what is the margin of victories from Creighton to Villanova, who is, in fact, number one? Just a quick guess, ballpark.
Oh, I have no idea if we're going Creighton.
231, though. Creighton has 231. Xavier, I'll give you, Xavier has 227 right behind. What's the number of wins that separates Nova and Creighton?
Maybe 15?
How about 269?
What?
269. 38 wins. 38 wins separates Villanova and Creighton. 1 and 2 most wins in the last 10 years.
Over the last 10 years?
Last 10 years. Now look, full disclosure, you know all I care about is 2016 through 2018 on the floor.
Yeah, I wonder why.
But that's a big number. That's a huge number. 610-632-0975. So we'll keep the Major League Baseball conversation going, as well as our side topic. We also want to throw something out with the NFL that both Josh and I saw on The Athletic that is a little scary when it comes to the return of the NFL. 610-632-0975. Man, 38 games separates them. That's dominance in the Big East. Basketball. Talking about it here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick behind the glass on the ones and twos. Devon Givens with you here until 10. 610-632-0975. And as we look at Major League Baseball and everything that's going on, there was an interesting story that I saw on yesterday on The Athletic that spoke about the NFL and the NFL returning. So the thing that was, here's the headline, if I have it, I know I had it here. Yes, I have it right here. The Athletic, NFL to allow teams to set varying fan capacity levels when season commences. Huh. All right. So this can go a lot of different ways, because if the NFL will let teams set the attendance for each game, the difficulty of knowing what a certain state is going to be like during this time with the pandemic, where it's not going away as we know of it right now. There is no vaccine that we know of that's just going to stop this entire thing. While we have these yellow and green phases and you get back to normal, you still have to wear your masks. You still have to social distance. These things are now being done in our sports leagues. These sports leagues right now are saying no fans. The NBA is going into a bubble. The NHL are going to have, they're going to have two locations before they get to the finals with one spot to hold the finals. Major League Baseball, no fans, while they will play in their home baseball parks, but it is definitely regional. Now, if the NFL keeps the normal schedules that they have, and the Eagles start off in Washington, okay, fine, game one. But they allow fans because it is now September. But Washington is more, not lenient, but more open to allowing not the football team themselves. They're going to have to go through, again, what the state is saying they can do with their sports engagement. So what if Washington, week one, you're allowed to have fans in the building and there are going to be some rules, but with their capacity, you get about 20,000 in the stadium spaced out however you space it out. But when they come back to Philadelphia the next weekend and take on, I don't even know what the NFL schedule is as I look at the Eagles right now. The Eagles will host the Los Angeles Rams. All right, the Rams really don't play in front of anybody anyway out there in the Coliseum. But when they come here and they have to play the Rams, you go on the road and you potentially lose to Washington. Eagle fans aren't able to really travel like they are normally do and go up there to Washington and represent the way that they always represent. That's an advantage for that. Now, there may be an advantage for the Eagles, but what if here Governor Wolf says, well, listen, we're on this here and we don't want fans in the building right now. We can't do what Washington did because while our state was good in June, on June 24th, our state September 20th might not be that good because of all the things that we're hearing about the possibilities of this thing returning in another wave in the fall. How are you going to allow teams and the states to dictate what you're going to allow the teams to have in terms of attendance? How are you going to do that? I would say just simply, if that's the case, don't have fans in the building altogether. You just don't. There could be a potential of competitive balance. Yes, anytime you go to a visiting building, you are playing at a disadvantage because the fans are in there to do what the fans are in there to do, and that is to back their team, to be on top of you, to make it very difficult for you to perform at a high level and beat that home team. Yes. But what if you are not allowed to have any in yours because of the state of where you are with the pandemic, with the virus, where you are unable to just simply unable to have anyone in the building? How is that? How do you let that happen? For me, let's just wait until next year for everyone, next season for everyone to wait to have fans in the building. And I don't mean the Eagles and the NFL being able to play with no issue in terms of the players. We know that someone's going to have the virus, but no issues whatsoever where they go throughout the full season. You get through January, the Super Bowl's at the first week of February, everything's good. I don't mean then allow fans. I mean next year when they start in September again. Next year when the NBA is really rolling. Next year, when the NHL and Major League Baseball get back at it, can we just wait? Can we just wait? What's the rush? I know the billionaires need their money. I get it. But what's the rush? What's the rush? That's a big time competitive advantage of not knowing what one city, what one arena, stadium is going to look like when you have domes, and it might be easier for them to have that with the crowd noise and all. But when you come back to Philadelphia and you're playing the Saints, and the Saints are playing outside, and you are not able to have that same type of support from your fans, and the pumped in crowd noise that they're going to give you is simply not good enough and able to help you, just won't work. I don't like this. I don't like this, where the NFL is going to allow teams in the states to determine the attendance in the buildings for the football teams in that host city. I don't like that. I really don't. What do you guys think about it? It was, an article yesterday on The Athletic. I'm off. I'm just reading stuff and I'm checking things out. I do subscribe to The Athletic. And I saw this one and I'm like, what? Now it's going to really come down to Governor Wolf? Yes, we know what happened in L.A. and talking about where the governor was speaking about no sports will be played right away when we get back. And our no fans for sure, but we may not have any sports happening at all. But now we're really going to put it on the teams. And look, they'll do their work. They'll speak. The ownership will speak with the governor, right? Everyone will do their part. The general manager, the health people will communicate, and they'll figure it out. But I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like that. I think it's a disadvantage, even for the Eagles. Just don't have fans in the building this season if you can do that, at least to start. If things improve so well, where we don't have to worry about the spike once again in the fall, deeper into the fall, then fine. And that means the NHL and the NBA can have fans in the building. However they decide to space them out in the buildings, limited crowds, they'll have to figure out the ticket situation. They'll do it. But not right now. Listen, it is not until September, so we have time. But in this story, an executive said in the story to the author, Daniel Kaplan, that I wish they would push back the start of the year to October, one more month, to give us more time to learn from these other leagues. We've been saying all along, they have the beauty of time on their side. Time on their side to see, number one, where coronavirus is in our country, and number two, seeing what, as this executive points out in the story, seeing what the others do in their leagues as well. So, listen, what do you guys think of something like that? Also, 610-632-0975, as we talk about Major League Baseball, best personalities in sports, both past and present, and the NFL allowing teams to set varying fan capacity levels when season commences starting in September. An advantage or something that they can work through? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick, we're with you until 10. We'll get to some NBA as well. Brian Windhorst on the morning show right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
801-975 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Josh Rabick producing, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. Charles Barkley, Marshall says. Michael Marshall on Twitter says Charles Barkley. Yes, Michael, I agree with you. That was my choice as well. Ramid says Dion was definitely his second person he thought of. That is Suave Capo on Twitter. 610-632-0975. Michael A. Hurley, 3, on Twitter. Arthur Ashe is a top personality.
Yeah, I like that, but I would also probably say maybe I'd look at someone else in that sport that maybe comes to mind. His brother does a little commentating in that sport. Was in a certain Adam Sandler movie, Mr. Deeds, just throwing out a few hints there.
Nah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Now, quickly, what do you think of what I just said about the NFL? NFL allowing teams to figure out the attendance in their buildings. Is there a competitive advantage when you do something like this?
There certainly is. How many times do we see a team get backed into, you know, their own 5-yard line? They're deep by the end zone, and that's where the fans are on top of you. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, the quarterback can't communicate with wide receivers or linemen trying to change up plays, and now the DN gets a head start on it because now the quarterback's going to a silent snap count. It becomes predictable. So yeah, I become really concerned, especially considering the NFL prides itself on parity. That's what the NFL prides itself on, is this competitive balance where you help out the lesser teams as well. And then in this circumstance, you're really impacting the teams that, like you said, possibly the Eagles, that can't sell out their stadium, can't put a lot of fans in there. Meanwhile, you could see someone like Jerry Jones going for an attendance record.
Yeah, absolutely. What do they hold? Like 100,000 in that building?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll definitely do that when you have a rivalry like the Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles do. They're just simply going to make sure that their building is packed, make it as difficult as possible. Again, something that they should do every time. But it's not the same where you're not sure that you can go to the other city and it will be the exact same thing when you come back to Philadelphia. It's just one of those deals.
Yeah, it's something we take pride in being from the Philadelphia area, is the fans and how the fans can impact a game truly in football. We look at the Cowboys and Eagles. You might think, the Cowboys got better over the offseason, but this could very well come down to Cowboys and Eagles, and we want any advantage we can get for our boys. And in this circumstance, it looks like it would be a serious disadvantage.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really do. And we're asking everyone, what do you guys think? 610-632-0975. Because it is something difficult to just lock in on and say, okay, yeah, this is going to be fine. And it's to me, and you just heard Josh, it's not really that fine. It's not. It's a disadvantage. It could be a disadvantage overall. Really could be. Because you go out there and you just simply say, all right, the Eagles are in a big spot at the end of the year, huge game upcoming. They have this run with the Dallas Cowboys where they go, in terms of the schedule, 2 weeks apart. One home, one away. Of course, you start off in Dallas. They have theirs. They have their fans. It's all good. It's all working out for them. But then when you come back to Philadelphia, you're just simply not allowed. And yes, you will want to do something. You will want to make it possible for these fans to fill up your building and help you out with that home field advantage that the Philadelphia Eagles certainly have at Lincoln Financial Field, but you are unable to pack it the way that you want to pack it. You cannot pack the building because the state will not allow. The conversation will be had with the governor, but guys, we can't bend the rules. We can't risk it because we can't risk people getting sick. Can't risk 30,000 people. I think they hold like 45, 50 at Lincoln Financial Field. I'll look it up, but
I think they were in the 60-some thousands.
60s? All right. Well, maybe that's Citizens Bank. I think it's Citizens Bank Park that we're talking about. Yeah, but 30,000 people. All right. But you know, it's going to be knocked down to maybe like 20 because you have to space out the way that you have to space out. And how? It's 69,176. They're like, all right, we cannot have it. We just can't do it. We can't do it. We can't risk it because of those 20, 30,000 that you allow in the building, the protocol to get into the building, right? All of that, how it's all spaced out. We know how long Broad Street is and how long Patterson is and how wherever you enter, we know how long these streets are, the sidewalks are. But my goodness, how are they going to have this thing where you wrap around the building, and we've seen it before, but where you're allowed to stand next to each other. They're going to have tape on the ground and X on the ground where you have to stay here. They have to stay here. All of this. Then when you get in, all right, the checkpoints, the temperatures. Okay, cool. You're all good at the moment. We've seen it so many times now. Well, I've listened to a video with comedian D.L. Hughley comes down with coronavirus, had no idea. Doing shows on stage, passes out, did not know. People don't know. No symptoms. You just don't know. You pass all the checkpoint, don't know. I would say just leave it be. Don't have fans until we know. Until we know that you really have a good handle on it to say, okay, we're going to let these people back in. You have to. That's where I am. That's what I believe. What do you guys think? I don't know if you've seen this, but man, I just don't know how you do it. The disadvantage is going to be you cannot predict weekly what's going to happen in Los Angeles, Houston, Green Bay, New York, and Philadelphia.
And you were talking about the safety concerns, too. Imagine you go through all this protocol here in Philadelphia. You have an empty stadium. And then you go to some stadium where it's like 60-some thousand fans in there. It's the equivalent of being like, all right, I'm going to stay away from people, social distance in Pennsylvania. But then I'm going to take a trip to Florida and just go on a people-touching spree.
Yeah, exactly. Just for fun, just to say we did it, just because we can say, see, I can't get it. I won't get it. It's not going to just disappear. It isn't. Not to say that people aren't working on it to try to figure out and trying to find a vaccine and get this thing under control. I'm not saying that at all. Not at all. I just don't know how this would be worked out. I mean, I don't. 610-632-0975. Where are you guys on this particular topic with the NFL allowing teams to determine the attendance in your city? Philadelphia in September, we have no idea. Philadelphia in November, we have no clue. We have no clue. Zero. Simple. 610-632-0975 as we discuss all of this with Major League Baseball, our side topic of Shaquille O'Neal, selected 28 years ago, first overall by the Orlando Magic. We're asking for the best personalities in sports, both past and present. And somehow I jump on my timeline. I see something from Ben Steiner, a writer and reporter for The Big Lead and Court Vision Podcast, presented by Jameer Nelson and Ben Steiner. Okay, I didn't know Jameer had a podcast, and I saw Jameer right before the shutdown of the NBA at a USA Basketball event at Mitchell and Ness. It was him, Tasha Cloud, Robbie Hummel. They were talking about Tasha Cloud, we mentioned on Monday, decided to skip her WNBA season upcoming because of the more important things that she wants to do with the social injustice that's going on, and she feels her voice can be heard there. Jameer is on here talking about how Dwight Howard is a first ballot Hall of Famer. We've had this conversation. He's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. We already know that. 610-632-0975. So we can look at, just like the NFL, well, this one executive in the story, the NFL, they want to wait and see what happens with Major League Baseball, the NHL, and the NBA. We are also looking at what's happening in other countries, seeing what they are doing, how they are going about it. The Korean Baseball League that everyone's been paying attention to, how you're watching the Korean Baseball League play out and seeing what they're doing. That's what Major League Baseball is probably going off of as well. The NBA putting together, once again, their 100-plus page safety protocol, health and safety protocol. Major League Baseball doing the exact same thing, health and safety protocol, putting all this stuff together to get things going, to get things started, get their season rolling. It's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Really is. Really is. And the NBA draft was supposed to be tomorrow, guys. That is something that we have to wait until October for now. Man, so the NFL, they are allowing, could allow teams, and of course the state has to get involved, to determine the attendance in their stadiums when the season starts. What do you guys think about that? 610-632-0975. We have some phone calls to get to, some tweets as well. So let's get it started again in this 8 o'clock hour as I ran my mouth. Let's go to Jeff and Camden next on the Fanatic. Jeff, how you doing, man? It's been a while.
What's going on, Devon? How you, man?
What's going on, man? How you been?
How you holding up through all this?
Doing all right, man. Staying busy, of course. Good to still be able to talk to you guys. Family's good, so no complaints. How about you?
That's good stuff, man. Hey, you know, man, a lot's going on, but, you know, like everybody, you got no choice but to get through it. You either get through it or you don't, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, as far as this, man, as far as getting the fans back in, you don't know if you're talking about, you know, just getting fans back in, are people really willing to die for the game? I know that we're diehards and we love our sports, but what is the actual mentality here? Are people actually willing to die for the game, like just to go and say, you know, if I get it, man, I died for the game? Is that what we got going on here? Because I'm not fully understanding the need to risk it, you know, for these small things, for things that we've all done before. And that goes as far as sitting down with straight. I mean, I was horrified when I went down Route 70 and some of my favorite restaurants outside and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
And I'm not judging anybody. I was horrified to see strangers packed together. And you know that this is what spread. You know that this is what spreads it, according to, because you don't know what everybody who you're around, what their blood type is, mm-hmm. what it's been. They're just there because it makes money. It's a good enough reason to have it there.
Now, so, I mean, might as well ask you this, just simple. Would you go to a game if they opened it up? And, of course, they're going to have this health and safety protocols. If you were selected to go to a game, would you do it?
LeBron, you're talking about some serious, serious perks have to be involved for me to risk my life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, well before coronavirus, anybody that knows me knows that I might go looking for Indiana Jones's treasure, you know, through all types of booby traps. But that's just me personally. Not a rational person, no doubt, that I would like to be sometimes. Absolutely not. I'm not even going to a restaurant for about a year. That's just me personally. Until I know that there's a vaccine and that the vaccine works. That's just me. That's just what common logic tells me. Who am I to want to teach nature a thing or two?
Right.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. No. How about your boy Novak Djokovic? About him, man?
Yeah, how about that? I mean, what was that, party that they had in Serbia?
Yeah, the dad is in. So he infected himself, his wife, and this is also a guy who doesn't believe in vaccines. How do you not believe in something that you can actually see? I mean, it's not a space alien that you haven't seen, and a lot of people believe in those, but that's like not believing in a car that's right in front of you. There's a vaccine. It's in the vial. It goes into people. The data is there that it protects people. But this guy says he doesn't believe in vaccines and says people shouldn't be forced to take them. Well, to my knowledge, nobody's forced to take a vaccine. The Gestapo has never kicked down my door and forced me to take a vaccine. Have you ever heard of this?
No,
before?
I mean,
people
listen.
People got to stop making stuff up.
Listen, man, I got to tell you, I don't know. I'm not going to a party like that myself with Djokovic. Yeah, it's really crazy. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you, Jeff. Yeah. You throw a party. And again, his wife, some of the other people in attendance, I believe, also got it as well. Nah, man. You know, if you get it accidentally because it just, however it just happened, again, you're doing the right things, all of that, and somehow you contracted it. All right. It's just tough luck, and you just hope you can get through it. And a lot of people are getting through it, but also losing a lot of lives. So that's definitely a tough one. Definitely a tough one. 610-632-0975. What did you think about that in Serbia, Josh, before we get back to the phones? What did you think about that?
It's ridiculous. Like you said, I believe Dimitrov was involved with that as well, another fellow tennis player as well. So, I mean, the point is you got to be wearing your mask. You got to also choose who you hang around. Like, you just, the problem with parties, you're having random gatherings and everything like that. You're not sure who's around you. There's some people who associate themselves with other people who are being tested regularly. When we talk about the return of sports, these athletes are being tested regularly. The concern that we're bringing up with the NFL is what happens when you bring fans in there who most of them probably will not be tested regularly with their jobs. And that's where the concern comes in. And it's something like this, that it's completely irresponsible. And you look around at sports and these are the big concerns when you come back.
Yeah. Yeah. 610-632-0975. These are some of the things that you have to worry about. And we'll find out. And Major League Baseball, we already know about the Phillies, the Toronto Blue Jays. Wasn't there? Yeah. Colorado. The Rockies. Right? The Rockies. Amazing. They have, what, three? Was it three, I think it was? At the top of my head, I believe it was three. The Colorado Rockies had three. And, of course, their all-star is one of them, Blackman. Is also, you know, Charlie Blackman, one of three players on the team to test positive after workouts at Coors Field. And hopefully he's okay. Hopefully they're all okay. 610-632-0975. Oh, man. It's a very good one here on Rex Chapman. You know we like to talk about Rex Chapman. Let's go to Pat in Upper Darby next on the Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. I'm talking about, I just listened to one of the guys you were talking to.
Yes.
Okay. You know, with the distance between the employee's entrance and where the customers go through and all that.
Yes.
It's going to be a mess, a real mess.
Yeah, so Pat, I mean, what I was trying to describe is it's just going to be, how are they going to do it, right? You have these lines, you're going to have these signs, right? Everywhere.
Exactly. And you know what? It's just that when they, I mean, they really should from the beginning. When they had the tents down there, they should have had the players start with the Phillies and their bosses, and then the Eagles and their bosses, then Wells Fargo and their the Flyers and Sixers, their bosses. Get them all tested out of the way. What they did, they were bringing people in, like driving in off the road. They should have did the players from the get-go.
Well, and you just wonder, you know, what they were doing during this time off that they've had with the players and what all they have been doing to try to keep themselves safe. And I know people get
so packed. Like I worked the last game of the Sixers.
Did you?
Two minutes before the game was over, they canceled the game. Okay? But it wasn't really crowded. It was a nice amount of people. It wasn't crowded, and everything ran smooth. It wasn't crowded at all.
Yeah, I was there that night, and I have to tell you, Pat, we were doing the show, Brian Seltzer and I, from the Wells Fargo Center on that night. And as we were on a commercial break, we kind of went and peeked in the building, in the bowl, to see the seats. And, Pat, we were like, wow, we're so used to at 6:30, people in here packed and spots empty everywhere.
No, it wasn't crowded at all that last Sixers game.
Yep.
And they just, I mean, it was because I worked at, you were there that night? I worked at Lorenzo's in 114.
Okay, yeah, we were there.
And the Board of Health was there. We wore the black gloves. They made everybody put hearing nets on. We had the pizza cutters. They had to cut the pizza, and they had to hand the pizza. They had to hand the food to the customers. That's what they're going to wind up doing in the Phillies and the Eagles. They're going to wind up handing the food to the customers just like what we did the last Sixers game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Pat, stay safe. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you soon. Hopefully we see you soon at the center. Good luck with everything. 610-632-0975. The NFL looks like, again, according to this story on The Athletic that I was reading, NFL to allow teams to set varying fan capacity levels when the season commences. What do you guys think about that with the teams and the state basically determining how the building will look? Is there a competitive advantage there with these squads? 610-632-0975. Brian Windhorst of ESPN, NBA Insider. He was on the morning show. We'll give you some of that in the 9 o'clock hour as well as we talk MLB, NFL, and more right here until 10. Josh Rabick producing, Devon Givens with you right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So I'm looking at this on my timeline. It was a TV show. Someone recorded something on a television show where they were having a discussion about the pandemic. And here it says, we know with everything that's happening in Florida with the spike, right? As you pointed out, everybody just wants to go touch everyone when you shouldn't be, right? How did you say it? You said it better than I did. What did you say? How they just want to go do what?
A people touching spree.
People touching spree. Okay. A people touching spree. And on the bottom of the screens, it says Disney World workers petition to delay park opening. All right. I mean, workers ask the theme parks to wait until Florida's COVID-19 cases drop. And we know the NBA will be in Walt Disney World, Wide World Sports, and, you know, okay. All right. The Disney workers. But the thing about that, before we get back to the phone, is the NBA, the Disney workers are also, the weird part about everything with the bubble on the campus is they are not going to be in the bubble. They're going in and out of the bubble. So they are going to have to go through all these safety protocols as well, just to re-enter after going home, doing what they're doing. It's going to be a crazy, crazy mess. And by the way, we have to get your thoughts on the other rule in Major League Baseball where go to the extra innings. And we talked about this the other day. You start on second base now. We'll get your thoughts, Josh, on that one as well. Fans attending games, what do you guys think about it? The NFL is considering allowing teams and, of course, the states to determine attendance once the league gets underway in the fall. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones. Lewis in West Philly on The Fanatic. Lewis.
Hey, how you doing?
Lou, how you doing?
I just wanted to get on and let you know I definitely agree with the no fans thing, specifically for football. And it's kind of disappointing, once again, to see Roger Goodell taking, like, this sitting-on-the-fence type mentality when it comes to big decisions where he really just doesn't want to come out and make a stance on this thing, where he really should. And you really want to, you know, let the public know that, yes, we play a game. We play a game for your entertainment. We also want to keep you guys safe, and it's not all about the money. And you're kind of sending the opposite message by playing the fence like this. I do think it's an unnecessary risk, like you were saying, like for this year, like it's an unnecessary risk for this season coming up to try to force people into the stands. It's just going to be more weird than it is effective. And I don't really think it's going to be worth it.
And Lou, that's where we know, and we knew this, we're not idiots, we know this, and people who are within the leagues, as we read the stories, who may want to be speaking to the people that are writing, the writers, the reporters, speak to them anonymously because they don't want their names behind it. We know it's about money. They know it's about money. So, of course, it's going to be that. We get it. But, again, what's the right thing to do, right?
Right, right, exactly. And I think in a society, you're really talking about, I mean, what, you know, why do people gather? Like, why did us humans decide, like, hey, we're going to group up in large groups and make countries and things like that? It's because we wanted things, like you were saying, like, we wanted to accentuate morals and try to make everyone's lives better, not just a few people's lives better and not care about other people. And you have these billionaires and you have some people that are complaining or, you know, pointing out the fact that they're going to lose money on this season because fans won't be there. But you have to understand the benefit of a billionaire in a society, in a group, is so that when things go really bad, they can help. Like, that's the point. It's like, yeah, you're going to lose some money, but you can afford to lose that money. So you can help. It's like, there's not a lot of people in this country that can literally lose half of all the liquid assets they have and still be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of people that fall into that category. So you're talking about these people, and they're willingly putting people in a position to honestly, like, you can die from this. And if you don't die, like, you've heard the stories of people that have fought it and won against it, and they're like, yeah, it still sucks, even if you don't die. I think it's just not good. If you're really that worried about losing money as a billionaire, as the owner of an NFL team, sell your team. It's like, just sell the team. That way you mitigate your losses, you walk away, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and it's crazy, man, because sometimes you have to stop people from doing things, right? So in a situation like this, Lou, where we see everybody really having the cabin fever, it's the summertime, you want to go out there and do the things I want to as well, but we just cannot get to that point as of yet. It's like, hey guys, you have the opportunity here to help the situation by basically stopping people from doing something. If you give them the opportunity, give them the choice, a lot of them gonna make the wrong choice.
Right. And just one last point, and to piggyback off of what you just said, I know for me, the big cabin fever thing came from, and like, I live in West Philly, so I've gone through all the Philadelphia things, the Pennsylvania thing. The big thing from me was the cabin fever upsetting thing for me was not knowing what was going on. There was no, like, clear, this is what we're going to do. This is step one, step two, step three. And that's kind of the same thing, like I said, that Roger Goodell is doing. Like, there's no clear thing here. Because Goodell said, hey, we're not allowing fans in the stadium for this season. We're going to do it next season.
Yeah.
Then I feel like everybody would feel better about it. But now we're doing this sitting on the fence, kind of this, we're half in, half out thing.
Right. If you tell them and it is what it is, that's what everyone has to accept. Lou, thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you. Really appreciate it. You just have to accept it for what it is. You don't have to like it, but you understand why they're doing it. But just like we understand why they're trying to bring it back when maybe you shouldn't, because of the fact that the money is going to be a big factor here. The money is a big factor here. Pardon me. Let me make sure I say that properly. The money is a huge, huge factor here. And with that being said, we know that that's what it's going to be for them. We know what their end game is. The money. It's the end game. The fact that there are rallies and stuff out there. I was just looking at a rally in one of these states where people are speaking to the Senate, right? I think it was Florida, about the mask bill that has been, you know, the mandate that you have to wear a mask when you now go out. But we've been doing this for months now. We're going to have to get used to this because this is going to be the new norm for quite some time, I think. I hope I'm wrong, but in a sense, I hope I'm right that this is what we have to do in order to knock this thing down before they find that cure for the pandemic. It's what it is. And again, sometimes you just have to stop people from doing the wrong thing. And it's not that it's just the wrong thing because, hey, you shouldn't be going to games. It's just the wrong thing because, hey, let's knock this thing down first. Then we can get back to going to the games and we'll all feel better. We'll all be excited to see the next person next to us, and society is hopefully better because of everything that is going on. Things are getting better with everything. I, I've made myself clear plenty of times of how I feel about the masks and all. It's just, what's that one video that's been circulating about the Walmart employee trying to stop the one gentleman for walking in without the mask? Every business now has a sign that says, no mask, you can't enter. And the guy just walking in, he's trying to shield him, putting his arms out. Right, you know how you play team defense at the top of your 2-3 zone and you spread your arms out, right? You get in your stance, spread your arms out. This is how he was playing defense at the entrance of the door, and the gentleman is like trying to shove him with his shoulder, push him, get in. He's like, sir, you have to have a mask on. Then he pushes him, right? Not the employee pushing the guy coming in the store. No, he pushed the employee. What are you supposed to do? The guy had a lot of restraint to not clock him as he's putting his hands on him. It's frustrating, I know. We don't wear masks every day. We don't. We've seen them in countries, though, in other countries, right? Where they, like China.
Yeah, we're not.
Walk
we're
around
not
with masks on. Before this,
you remember the first week when we had to start wearing masks. I kind of felt weird. I had to psych myself up in the vehicle because not everybody was wearing a mask yet. And you're looking at other people, and you're like, "Oh, they're not wearing a mask. I'm going to look weird." And then eventually, you just kind of come to terms with, "I'm doing this for the betterment of everyone else."
Yes, I'm doing the right thing. That's what you do. That's what you do. I'm doing the right thing. 610-632-0975. Talking about the NFL and with the NFL. Allowing teams and states to determine attendance, and there could be a big time competitive advantage in something like this, and it might not help the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Let's go to Jerry in Newtown next on the Fanatic. Jerry, how you doing?
Yeah, what's going on, boys?
What's going on, man?
You know. So I want to touch on a couple of things first, but the first thing I want to say, so I got a text the other day from this guy. And he was like, "Hey, we need one more guy for our summer league basketball team." Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, "How is this possible? How is it possible that the NBA is not comfortable with coming back, but an adult men's league is comfortable playing in the middle of July?" I don't get it.
Yeah, so soon, but, like you said, middle of July, not September, not a couple of months away. This is a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't, and it's going on everywhere. It's not just where I live, and then it brings me to my next point. So my son plays youth football, and they're going to do that. So I mean that's cool. But my thing is, what happens when one of the kids gets it? They're going to have to shut that program down. The team you played the week before, they're going to have to shut that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just not going to work. Which brings me into the NFL and the NBA. Right? Let's say the NBA, everything works perfectly. They make it to the finals.
It's great.
Obviously, it's LeBron versus Sixers, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron catches the virus. What do you do?
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day, Jerry. So LeBron catches the virus. I don't think they have to tell anyone.
That's terrifying.
Right. I don't know that they have to, right, tell anyone, but I think they do, and that's why they say, hey, let us know, because then they can go quarantine for like 7 days in a different location on the campus. But Jerry, if I'm LeBron James in the finals, I want to win. Do I say anything?
Sure. And then what do they do? Because your ratings are going to now plummet that LeBron can't play in the finals. So do they hold the series off?
No.
You know what I mean? What happens if they get it in the middle of the season, this little tiny season they're doing?
Yes.
First round of the playoffs, somebody gets it. Do you shut down the whole thing?
No. Well, are you talking about a big name or just someone?
Well, if somebody gets it, the likelihood of the other guys on the court getting it is almost slim to none because of the way it travels.
Yes.
They're sweating on each other. They're screaming. They're yelling. They're high-fiving. They're, you know, chest bumping. The likelihood of one person just having it is almost astronomical. So you know other people are going to have it. I just don't see how it's possible. And now you go. Now you're talking about bringing fans into it.
Yeah. So get to the NFL part. Yeah.
Absurd.
Yeah.
So first of all, you're absolutely right. There's a disadvantage. So if I'm in a state where we can't have fans,
but we're traveling to it. That's a competitive advantage. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand how any of the NFL owners would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Secondly, these people are disgusting. Everyone out here is disgusting. I don't care what anyone says. Nobody's washing their hands. Nobody's wearing. I shouldn't say nobody. There's too many of us not washing hands, still not wearing masks, just not doing the proper. I don't know about you guys. I worked in the healthcare industry for a very long time. First of all, I know these masks that they're giving us are a joke, because when I would go in with somebody who had tuberculosis, I couldn't wear this mask because I have a beard, right? So the whole mask thing of what they're actually trying to do, these paper cloth ones, mm-hmm. or people making them wearing out of socks, it's nonsense. But my point is, there's too many people not doing what we're supposed to be doing for this to work. And it's very unfortunate, because you have the people who, one, have medical conditions, two, who would just say, hey, this is America, and then three, you have people who just say, nah, I don't feel like it.
Yep.
There's too many.
Yep. Don't feel like it. I can't drink my water while I'm walking, and you can't hear me when I'm speaking because I can't speak.
One more thing. Yeah. One more thing, if I may. How has there not been at least one video from the CDC or the WHO, anybody? You know how many people are out here touching masks with their fingers and touching this with gloves? Nobody knows really
how to use them. They don't know how to use them. They don't know. They might know how to wear them, Jerry, but they don't know everything else. Like the first couple of weeks. Listen, thanks for the call, man. So I'm looking. You know what? Joe, hang on. We'll do this after the break because I want to explain. We'll get to you first, Joe, and then we'll explain the whole masks and touching as we were just discussing when we get back. 610-632-0975, and we mean touching your face and washing your hands and all that stuff. Josh Rabick, Devon Givens, Joe, we got you first, everybody else, when we get back right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
847, 97.5, The Fanatic. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll give you some of what Brian Windhorst said again on the morning show, talking about the NBA and their return as well. 610-632-0975. As promised, let's check in with Joe in Center City. We'll get to the mask thing in a second, but Joe in Center City next on The Fanatic. How you doing, Joe?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I agree with what everybody else has been saying about this Athletic article. There's no way that you can let the governors of each state dictate whether or not fans can come into the stadium. I mean, that's why we're going through this, you know, some people are calling it a second surge in some of these states, because some of the governors in those, some of those southern states, are being a little bit irresponsible in the way that they're handling the cases, and there's no reason to think that they wouldn't want to be the first ones to, open their football stadium or whatever that might be.
Yeah, I don't see how that makes much sense. It's something that has to be a collective thing overall. But again, for me, Joe, it's just simple. Just don't have anybody in there for right now. It's okay. I know the money part. I get it. I understand how difficult that is, but I mean, the greater good at the end of the day, we're trying to figure this thing out and try to stop it. And maybe right now we just have to not have fans. We can still have the sport, but just don't have fans.
It's absolutely okay. And even if the one idea I was, kicking around a little earlier, like even if you held off on the regular season and just, even if you took those extra, whatever, maybe 3 or 4 months of the regular season to work out something that could be safer for fans, or you work out a plan in that 3 or 4 months to work out something where you could have 25% capacity or something like that. There's no reason to rush in on whatever it is, September 10th, to be able to do this. I do think that they're going to do everything they can probably to get, people in the door for the Super Bowl. And I kind of feel like you could just work your way back from there. Maybe even just have fans at the Super Bowl. Say, hey, we know for sure we're going to have fans at the Super Bowl.
Right.
And if your team makes it,
come on out, right? But then that at least gives you, you know, whatever it might be, almost a year till the Super Bowl. So,
no, I agree with you, Joe. I mean, I really do. It's very difficult. Man, listen, thanks so much. Stay safe out there, Joe. We'll talk to you soon. So, Jerry in Newtown, before we went to break, was a great call. And he was talking about the masks and how people don't. He's in healthcare. He wears masks. He has a beard. So I actually have the mask that he's speaking of, the paper one. I have multiple masks like that, the ones that tie up in the back, the ones that just simply go around your ear. I also have a homemade one from someone that gave it to me. But so the thing about the masks, and I remember this the very first week. I remember this, right? And I'm like, first of all, I was going crazy because I'm just driving in here because we were still considered essential. So we were coming in and the streets were wide open. But some places weren't closed as of yet, right? So I was in a shopping center one day specifically, and I'm waiting, talking to a friend in the we got some food from one of the stores, the establishments, and we are getting the food. We're sitting in the car waiting for it to be done, and I see someone get out of a car, pulls up front of the store, actually like pulls up in front of the store. Didn't even go in a parking spot, just kind of double park. You know how you pull up to a store and you bang, me running here real quick, put my hazards on, I'm good. So he gets out of the car, has a mask on, has his gloves on, surgical gloves, right? Gets out of the car, opens the door, closes the door, opens the trunk with the gloves on. Okay? Goes into the store, gets his food with the gloves on, carries the bag with the gloves on. Goes in the car, opens the door, gets back out of the car with the gloves on. Touches his face as he adjusts the ear loop, right, for the ear on the mask, not realizing that the reason he had the gloves on was because he was trying not to touch a door handle, you touch anything that would allow him to come down with any kind of symptoms for the coronavirus. But people are so you're not used to doing these things. Again, second nature. Right? We were talking about Major League Baseball and the things that they do that they now have to adjust to because of the health and safety protocols. They can't do certain things. People are not used to wearing gloves. People are not used to wearing masks. So when you are putting the gloves on to keep your hands clean from getting your hands dirty, the symptoms, on and on and on, you're not realizing that you may have to pull your glove off to adjust your mask instead of using your hand with the mask on to touch your face and all of this. It's a different thing. It's a different thing. And I'll say it like this. I have a background in having to wear this stuff before. So I'm familiar with masks. I'm familiar with gloves. When you have two gloves on, by the way, when you take your gloves off, don't throw them in the street. When you take your gloves off, you take one at a time, pull it, pull the other one, pull it over top of the other one, and you're basically putting one into the other without having to touch the outside of the glove, which is contaminated at this point. That's all you do. But not everyone knows that. So again, you just have to have a history of it, and now you can look up everything. So to Jerry's point, why is the CDC not putting out something on how to wear a mask, how to use your gloves and all of that? This is new. And I feel bad for everyone because you don't know how to properly use these things. And I just don't want anyone who you're doing the right thing. You feel like you're doing the right thing. And maybe that'll happen at one of these sporting events. Feel like you're doing the right thing. And then boom, something happens. It's because that one little thing. Right? The one little mistake can lead to you coming down with it. So when you are people wearing, and I know people are going to be like, well, I don't want to come on the air and get a whole lesson of, well, sometimes the lesson might help. That's the only reason I'm sharing this and Jerry speaking of it. When you put the mask on, the paper ones, squeeze the top. It has a little tiny thing there where you can squeeze the top. People who are carpenters and all and painters and things, they're used to them because they have to cover themselves up when they, you know, do their work, and they might be accustomed to wearing these types of things. But some people working in an office and every day, like we walk around in here in the office, and I go in the store one day, I pull mine down just a little bit because it was itching and I had to do something. I was taking my glove off to do what I needed to do, and I didn't pull it all the way back up. And the gentleman says to me, you know, it doesn't work like that if you don't have it covering your nose. And I'm like, all right, thanks. You know, I know what I'm doing, but in that moment I had to do it. I had to pay for my stuff as well, so I didn't pull it all the way back up. But it was cool that someone was looking out. It's cool that someone was looking out, but it was also like, I mean, it's not a sign on me to say, dude, I know what I'm doing. But it's a whole thing about it. Jerry was right. Be careful with the masks. Some of them are tough with the paper mask because they don't cover people that have that full beard. Can't cover that. You, even though it's covering your mouth, you want to cover the chin because it kind of keeps things from getting in there. But, you know, that's why I think it's tough to try to fit fans into a sporting event when anytime you're in there, you get excited, you want a high five, you're going to want to pull your mask down and scream whatever you want to scream at the opposing player. And normal protocol will come in except for what you're supposed to be doing. But all right, that's my whole CDC breakdown on masks and gloves. Hope you guys appreciate it. Hope I didn't bore you on it. Hope we helped out a little bit. 610-632.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
In Orlando, on campus of the Walt Disney World, Wide World of Sports.
Get excited!
Indeed. Thank you, Tom. Look forward to hearing Tom. Look forward to following Tom during the in the post shows that we will have, of course, once the season resumes starting July 30th. A weird schedule. Actually, guys, the schedule comes out on Friday. So weekend, Friday night, Friday sometime during the day or Friday night. I think it's supposed to be televised, as a matter of fact. You know they have to do that. Make a big thing about it, as they should. And I guess we'll go over the 8 games that are on their regular season schedule to see if they can make some moves a little bit, move up a little bit higher into maybe the 4th or 5th seed. I believe that's as high as they can go and overtake the Miami Heat and the Indiana Pacers. 4 and 5, Miami, Indiana. And Victor Oladipo is contemplating if he should play or not. So that would help out the Sixers. Well, even, but Indiana was pretty good without him this year. He didn't play much. But anyway, we're broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Josh Rabick. Devon Givens, we're with you until 10 o'clock. 610-632-0975. So as you just heard Tom McGinnis, and you just heard the return of the Philadelphia 76ers on the basketball court. I mean, hey, I am looking forward to it. I still have my you know, as we get ready for the entire thing, but I am looking forward to them getting back out there on the floor. And Brian Windhorst is someone that was on the morning show today. And we'll, as a matter of fact, what we'll do is at 9:10, it was a good interview from the morning show, and we'll re-air it at 9:10 to really allow you to hear exactly what he said on the morning show about the the overall return about the Philadelphia 76ers. And that's just, you know, that we'll give you that at 9:10, but just in general, and we'll react to what he said. But quickly, how I feel about the 76ers is I believe that they can do something in the first round. I really do. I believe that they can actually make some moves to move up a little bit and be a problem in the second round. We've heard from Chris Mannix already. Tom Haberstroh had a video on NBC Sports. He covers the NBA on NBC Sports. I listened to a video breakdown that he had for about a minute and some change about why the 76ers, again, we know the home and road splits where they are 29-2 at home, 10-24 on the road. Outrageous. Just flat out outrageous. But now it's the neutral site. With the neutral site, you basically say everything else is wiped off the table, including the home court advantage, because they don't have the fans, and they will not. They'll have themselves to cheer for each other while they're in there. They'll have that noise pumped in, the crowd pumping in that noise in general to give some sort of, we keep talking about normalcy in sports, and not only with the players, but the fans. Now we might get that, as they pointed out, NBA 2K sound effects. Maybe some other noise that they'll pump in. The music is still going to be there. They're still going to have people, the in-arena people that handle all of that stuff when it comes to the entertainment in the building, stuff on a Jumbotron, etc. They continue to be the darlings, if you will, right? The darlings of what the postseason is about to be, where all of these national people continue to point out how the Philadelphia 76ers are the ones that can really shock things and make some noise. Noise. So, I don't know how far. I really don't. I don't think any of us do. I don't know how far. I believe they can move up with the 8 games. They have Washington on the schedule, San Antonio, Phoenix. Oh, we ran over this the other day. It doesn't matter at this point. They have a bunch of games that they can play against these teams. Memphis, I believe, San Antonio are on that list. They have a bunch of games against the teams that are in the bubble where they can fill out the 8-game schedule, where it's going to be released, I believe, on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and we'll talk about it on Friday, certainly, but they can move up. They can move up. They can put themselves possibly in a better position. Moving up in that better position where they can, if you feel they have a better shot against the Miami Heat, fantastic. They can do that. If you feel like moving up to the 5 spot is a much better scenario for them versus 6, where in that 5 seed they'll face Miami again, fine. You know, fine. You move up to 4, you're still going to have to face Miami, fine. Fantastic. Okay, cool. But they can do that. They can make some noise. Things are working out with Simmons and his back, with Embiid, his health. He said to Sixers.com that he has been working out 6 days a week. I love it. I love it. He said it. Can't walk it back. All right?
I woke up and the pain was gone.
He said it. You cannot walk that back. So if he's saying he's working out 6 days a week during this time, first of all, I don't know how he's doing that, but he's doing that. There's no reason for him not to come back in tip-top shape when they return. Actually, right now, right? The testing and getting back out there on the floor, the transactions and all are happening where players are being signed and all of that stuff. There's no reason why they cannot make some noise. Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Josh Richardson, who I just saw was working out here in Philadelphia. There's no reason, zero reason, why they can't make some noise once this thing resumes in Orlando. None. Once again, they are the darling of the NBA prognosticators of who has the chance to make the most noise when the NBA comes back next month. So, I again like where they are. We're going to have plenty of conversations about this, okay? About this. We're going to have plenty of conversations about this. But I wanted to bring it up simply because the NBA has started to get back to some sort of a schedule. Right now, the league transaction period, it was open yesterday, closes on the 30th. And Brian Windhorst was on the morning show. So we want to let you hear what Windhorst had to say with the morning show, not only about the Sixers, but also about the bubble and some questions that many of you may have, haven't gotten a good answer. And maybe, just maybe, this is something that will help you out with some of the things that you might have questions with in regards to the NBA. So here's Mark Farzetta starting things off with a question to Brian Windhorst this morning.
Do you have any idea or any feeling on more players of note opting out of playing in the bubble?
Well, I wish I could be more precise. There's a number of rumors of players out there, and we're just waiting. We're waiting to find out their decisions. I haven't heard about any superstars, but I have heard a star name or two. So I know that that's annoyingly vague, but I just, you know, I'm not going to say if I'm not sure.
Right.
So, however, having said that, my feel is that the overwhelming majority of the players are in for now. You know, this bubble has two different ways that it can crack. One is the worst case scenario for our society, and that's an outbreak, that they lose control of the virus, which would be terrible. The other way it can happen, in my view, is if there's a loss of confidence. Because one of the things that has been repeated to me over and over and over throughout this building of this bubble is that everybody trusts Adam Silver. And what's kind of the linchpin in this whole thing is the belief that Adam is going to keep them safe. And while I honor that, Adam is just a man. You know, he does not have the vaccine. So if there's a point where something happens that causes the players to lose confidence, we could just see them give up. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen, but that's a reality.
Speaking with Brian Windhorst, ESPN. So Adam Silver, I've heard that name time and time again for people that the players trust him. Do the players trust each other in keeping each other safe?
Man, it depends on who you ask. You know, one of the things that I've heard as I've talked to players is they're not worried about it when everybody gets there. They're not worried about week two. What they're worried about is, you know, this regular season period is going to take about 5 weeks. Two or three weeks of training camp, and then about 3 weeks of games. And what happens when the games, when there's some teams that know they're out of it and are just playing out the string? It's one thing to know you're out of it in April in the NBA to play out the string, to be in quarantine in week five and know that you're playing out the string. And what's going to happen? Are people going to stay committed? Are people just going to leave and go home? You know, the NBA is not stopping anybody from leaving. They want to stop people from coming back in. That is a concern. And, you know, the NBA has to walk a fine line here of keeping players protected but not being an authoritarian state. You know, this is not meant to be a prison camp. It's meant to be a work camp, quite frankly. And the NBA doesn't have a set of guidelines here. They don't say, oh, well, this is what we've always done. They're making it up. So, you know, do I think the players trust each other? To a point. You know, do you trust everybody you work with? Probably to a point.
Brian, you bring up at the beginning a wait and see kind of an attitude, and you know, to see what happens. Is there a chance that a lot of basketball, a lot of the NBA is looking over now, okay, Major League Baseball starting in a week. They're all going to convene. It's a little bit different, but it's much the same where you're bringing a big body of people in. Do you think that might have some effect on how the players are going to react watching how baseball handles everything?
Maybe, but it's going to be different because the baseball players are going to be traveling. I know not initially because they're going to be doing spring training, but what what the NHL, the NHL is closer, obviously, but what the NHL and baseball is doing is different from the NBA. The NBA is truly trying to build a quarantined bubble. Now, whether it'll hold or not is a different discussion. You know, I spent a long time back in April. I spent weeks and weeks talking to all these experts all across all the fields, epidemiology, you know, medical, talking to hotel operators, talking to arena operators, on what you'd have to do to build the bubble. And what the NBA is building is the closest thing to the number one recommendation across the board. It's not the number one recommendation, but it's the closest thing to it. So NBA was keeping an eye on China because they were hoping that China's bubble would come first. They've actually just started playing in China, but it's not quite the same. So the NBA in a lot of ways is going to be going about this, you know, all by themselves. Yes, baseball's going to maybe see the first pitch before we see the first tip-off, but I don't think it's going to be the same.
Speaking with Brian Windhorst, ESPN, what can you tell us about this snitch line? Is that a real thing?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
So there was a story out there that players might have a line to literally rat other players out that might be breaking the quarantine or the bubble.
Line.
Yeah. Oh,
line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to just say, there's like 50 or 70 things in this bubble that are remarkable to me. That line is not in the top 20. yes, they're going to have that. But it really, it's more of a reality is, how are the players going to hold each other accountable? It's not going to be, hey, I'm going to go tell, you know, the teacher.
Right.
You know, and so that's the thing. Like, and that's, again, I think if a team is competing for a championship and they're trying to get something done, or they're about to enter the playoffs, I think the way that the players will hold themselves, their teammates accountable will be different than a team that is in 10th place or in 11th place, six games out with three games to play. That's where I think the challenge is going to be when the players don't have that personal responsibility.
You've said that you've talked to multiple players, you've talked to coaches and really everybody throughout this. What is your own personal takeaway about how the NBA does keep these players as safe as possible?
Well, I think the only thing that I could say, and I say this as somebody who did some investigation on this, not as much as the NBA, the idea that they're going to not quarantine the staff, I think, is where their hole is. And, you know, the only way that this bubble comes into effect is if you're willing to accept risk. If you're not willing to accept the measure of risk, we're all staying indoors and not leaving, okay? So the NBA looked at this, and by the way, they're already spending $150 million on the bubble. This is something I don't think people understand. This whole thing is in the red. It's all losing money. And the bubble itself, to put it on, they're sending $150 million out to put it on. So they had to make a judgment holding in one hand the financial reality with, can we also quarantine these other, you know, 400 or 500 people? But, you know, when I talk to NBA people, they say, look, we know the numbers in Orlando are bad. We recognize that, but we're going to have our own quarantine space. Whether we are in Orlando, we are in the Canadian Rockies, we are in Nepal, we're going to have our bubble. It doesn't matter. And that, I think, is true to a certain point, except for the fact that the people that are cooking the food and cleaning the rooms and driving the buses are going home to their families in Orlando every night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're worried about trusting the 17th man, you know, the two-way player who may want to sneak out and see his girlfriend. I'm worried about the maid who's living with a family of six and because she's got to work.
Right.
You know, and everybody in her family is out working and things like that. And, you know, your bubble is only as strong as your weakest link. Now, they have laid layers on top of layers to protect it. If you're, you know, because they're not quarantined, you're opening yourself up. So that is the risk they are taking. They are hoping against hope that it works. I am hoping against hope that it works. I think it's got a good chance of working, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I can predict that it's going to work.
Understood. Speaking with Brian Windhorst, ESPN. Brian, the other thing here is obviously this is Philadelphia, so we're concerned about the Sixers and not only their well-being, but how they would function as a team. And one of the things we've fallen back on, whether that be some struggles, especially on the road, is that either their best basketball was in front of them or that they were built for the playoffs. How do you see the Sixers faring in a tournament like this?
Well, any team that is 29-2 at home is a damn good team. If you're good enough to go 29-2 at home, you're good enough to win four playoff series. And that's why I always thought the Sixers were extremely dangerous. The other thing is the Sixers, you know, to this point, I mean, I guess things could change, but the Sixers own the Celtics, you know? Mm-hmm. The Celtics want no part of the Sixers. And that's a team in front of them that they may have to play that I think they would go into feeling like they were the favorites. And, you know, it looks to me, I don't know for sure. I mean, I only know what I've been told, that Ben Simmons is going to be ready to go, which was an uncertainty if there had been an April start to these. So I think the Sixers are one of the most fascinating teams. Now, having said that, I don't know if the problem, the big giant problem that is faces the Sixers, which is that they don't play their best when their two best players are on the court. I don't know if that gets healed with 4 months away. I don't know the condition of Joel Embiid. You know, these are important factors that I don't have the answers to. But I know this. This layoff only is an advantage for the Sixers because they were not at their best and they were not performing at their highest level when this stopped. And their ability level is high. They have a championship-level aspiration team. And so they are. I would say them and the Nuggets, with Nikola Jokic, if he's able to return, 40 pounds lighter, Nikola Jokic, are the two teams I want to see. I want to see what Embiid looks like. I want to see what Simmons looks like. I want to see them play with a new lease. They're probably the most fascinating team, definitely in the East.
Brian, when you have a layoff like this, and you talked about what you want to see, do you think there's a distinctive advantage to some teams, whether it's generally or specifically coming back after this break?
Well, I think that so much of the NBA season, you know, as I've spent 18 years chronicling it, there's so much of a flow, and you see teams move in and out of the flow, and I just don't know how, you know, you feel like if you watch the Lakers, they were getting better. Like if you watch the Raptors last season and you watch them proceed through the playoffs, you could feel it. You could feel the way they were coming together. And as I was watching the Clippers really hadn't been coming together, and I was waiting to see them come together. And so now that's all been obliterated. And I don't have a good idea of how this is going to go. I mean, the last time we had a really odd season like this was 1999. Now, the lockout season in 11 was complicated. But it was a little bit closer to regular season. In 99, we had a 50-game season. They didn't start until January. They were playing back-to-back-to-back. And we saw a number 8 seed reach the finals when the Knicks did it. And part of it was the Knicks played the number 1 seed Miami Heat, and they just owned that team, and the matchup worked out right. So my expectation is that we're going to be surprised. Are we going to be surprised that the Clippers are all of a sudden world-beating great? Are we going to be surprised that the Lakers lose their mojo? Are we going to be surprised that it's the Sixers, that Embiid and Simmons find a rhythm that they haven't found before? That I don't know, but I am expecting to be surprised somehow.
That is Brian Windhorst of ESPN and ESPN.com, along with the morning show. Great stuff from the guys. Great questions, of course, and asking Brian Windhorst about the NBA overall with the bubble and the Philadelphia 76ers, in which he said one of the most fascinating teams to regroup and get back together once they get down there to Orlando inside the bubble, along with the Denver Nuggets. Two teams he said he's very interested in watching. It's all, at this point, it's all speculation. As we know, we have no idea. These are the conversations that we've been having. These are conversations that are going to come up until we see these players back on the floor, these teams back on the floor, getting their work in. But once again, we just keep talking about it. This squad is a team that many, many people have high hopes for. High hopes for the Philadelphia 76ers. Could be right, could be wrong, could be something, could be nothing. But at the beginning of the season, when we were making our predictions, many had them at least making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And now when you're able to do this, take this break, heal up, just like everyone else. So I'm not making it like it's exclusive to the Sixers. Heal up. They have an opportunity here, guys. They really do have an opportunity. I mean, I don't want to kid myself. I certainly don't want to kid you with how this team could look when they get back out there. But it's not by accident that a lot of people feel like they are one of the top teams to pay attention to when the league returns. 610-632-0975. One of the most fascinating teams in the bubble of the 22 squads. What do you think about what Brian Windhorst just said? Do you feel like he's right when he says any team that's 29-2 at home can win four rounds? Huh? Or how many rounds? 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. That was Brian Windhorst. We'll talk about that when we return right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.929 on this Wednesday night. 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Brian Windhorst before we went to break with the morning show. So that was a good conversation that they had. Some details with the bubble going on in Orlando and certainly his thoughts on the Philadelphia 76ers. 610-632-0975. What did you guys think of that interview? How revealing was it for you with anything in terms of the bubble? And are people going too far? I mean, are people going too far with how they feel about the 76ers and their chances? Because actually, again, I mean, this thing is so up in the air. So up in the air. Who knows at this point? Who knows at this point? But what I do know is they were supposed to be very good before we saw them at 39-26 before the season shut down. 29 wins at home. Only 10 on the road. But, hey, Simmons healthy, hopefully. The back, it's a tricky thing. It really is. Embiid says he's been conditioned, says he's good. We'll find out shortly. Josh, we'll get to you in a second, get your thoughts on what Windhorst had to say, anything that jumped out to you. Let's go to our friend Brian in Plymouth Meeting here on The Fanatic. What's up, B?
Hey, D.
What's going on, man? You know how I feel about Windhorst, but that was a good conversation.
Yeah, for sure. But he just admitted that it's not a real bubble, which is what I went on that whole rant about last week.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm at the point where I really just am beyond caring if any of these sports come back. I mean, the baseball one is ridiculous. I mean, I'm no disrespect to people that are in jail, but, I mean, that basically sounds like you're in solitary confinement for 22 hours, except for the 2 hours that you're let out in the yard to exercise. And, the NBA is spending $150 million. Cry me a river. Spend a couple more and make sure that you have a proper bubble. And how much is it? I feel like the risk to these guys is very minimal. But what is the cost to the NBA if Zion Williamson gets COVID and he's got compromised lungs and his basketball career is over? Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to think long term there. And just to spend a little bit of extra money to make sure that that support staff are also quarantined. I mean, it's not that much money. Those folks would be willing to work for a nice pay bump, but we're not talking about NBA player salaries. We're talking about regular people's salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to football, I mean, they're not going to be able to play with fans. The way that this is
is going. I mean, it's tragic. It's heartbreaking to see that this whole lockdown we did is all going to waste because this is now exploding again all over the place.
And it's because, like what we were talking about earlier when we were speaking with Jerry from Newtown, where a lot of people just simply can't get out of their own way, right? You feel the way you feel. I get it. You don't want to be stuck in, but it's for the greater good. It's for the best, for not only for you as an individual, but everyone around you. That's where the whole mask thing comes in. It's not just for you. It's for the people around you.
Oh, that's all of what the mask thing is. So you're not spreading it to other people. Everybody needs to act as though they are carrying it at all times. And that, like, the mask that you wear, that paper mask that you know, I wear throughout the day, that's just keeping my germs from spreading to other people. That's not protecting me at all.
Mm-hmm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That concept, or they don't care enough to inconvenience themselves. But I think football is in real trouble because, to me, you know, as I said, the bubble in the NBA was just a matter of money. With football, 53 guys with so much more support staff with all the equipment and whatnot, I don't see, I mean, it would cost a heck of a lot of money to a bubble there. And I think you're going to see, you know, if this is keeps trending the way it is with outbreaks all over the place, you're going to see teams, I don't know if they're going to, they'll probably try to postpone games if you have an outbreak within a team and they can't play a game a certain week.
Yep.
But, I mean, we can end up seeing forfeits that, you know, doesn't really matter, but the whole gambling angle is a thing. Like, when you see the odds on a certain team, game, like, explode one way or another, and then you find out, you know, a couple days later that, you know, the quarterback's got COVID or something like that.
Mm, yeah.
But let me end on a bright note with your initial sports personality thing.
Yes, please.
From back in the day, Richie Ashburn.
Oh, classic, wasn't he?
yeah, and you know, as a kid, I'm like, man, this. Why are all these women? Why is he thanking all these women for all these pies? What's going on here?
Oh, the fact that they would get pizza delivered while they were on the air. No, tremendous.
You were talking about something else, some of this.
No, I know, but I had to keep it to the pizza part because that was... Listen, man.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
The classic story where they told him not to call out that one pizza parlor,
yep.
and then he just kind of did it in a roundabout way anyway.
No doubt about it, man. Listen,
right,
thanks for the call, man. You too, man. Stay safe. Yes, Richie Ashburn, tremendous one. That's a great one. No doubt about it. 610-632-0975, man. Here's something that I heard, and I'm probably not breaking anything, but just in general, that there are already players that have tried to, I'm not even going to say try, they probably already did it, renting houses in the surrounding area of Orlando because, as Brian just pointed out, Josh, they are not going to stay in that bubble. They're not. They're just not going to stay in the bubble. So, I mean, LeBron James wants the kids and his wife to stay in Florida with him. Doesn't want to be away from them because they're going to be gone for 3 months. The Lakers are going to the finals. They're not supposed to be there until the first round. They probably have a house. It's just what it is. What are you going to tell LeBron? No. He's the reason. Right? They're trying to showcase this whole thing. He's going to be marketed crazy while they're there.
In theory, we like the idea of the bubble for basketball more than baseball because you have the baseball players going back to their families and everything. Yes. But like you said, you're going to have star players like LeBron. The families are going to be there. And then some of these single guys that can't stay caged in are going to ruin it for everybody.
going to ruin it for everybody. What did you think about Windhorst said?
It's weird because during this time off, a lot of us have become more optimistic about what the Sixers can do. I've heard some people go as far as, you know what, they can go on a run to the NBA Finals now. They haven't given us any evidence of this. And it's funny because all of a sudden, a sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, as of right now, a sixth seed in the Eastern Conference has become like the Cinderella team in March Madness. Somehow they became George Mason or VCU overnight, where we think, okay, they're going to go on a run. I'm one of those people that think that they could get out of the first round, especially because we saw an aggressive Ben Simmons. But when you listen to Windhorst, when he talks about, oh, you know, a team that a record like that at home, they can do damage. But then also a minute later, you hear his concerns about Embiid and Simmons on the court together. And a lot of us have talked about not only those two, but Horford on the court with those two as well together. I just don't see how this works out. I think sometimes we trick ourselves looking at the roster on paper, and then things are going to come back and we're going to go, oh, nothing really changed, did it?
Okay, well, how about I throw this one at you, see what this one does for you. Might do nothing. The shortened season that we saw, albeit different, strike shortened season, the eighth seed New York Knicks advance into the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, this can happen, but at the same time, I just can look at some of these other teams, and for one, if somehow things worked out where they faced it, Indiana, and let's just say we're under the assumption that Oladipo's playing. At first, things weren't working when he came back. Right around when things stopped, things started to roll. They figured out how to play together with him back in on that team that I think that's a tough matchup. And also, you're going to have to get through Milwaukee. I thought last year was the year you get through Milwaukee, where they're there late, a year early, and you can kind of get one over on them. I think Giannis, and this is a star-driven league, that experience is huge. And I think every offseason, a player as special as Giannis grows as a player. I think they missed their window on beating the Bucks.
Okay, but I also look at this one, too, and you might be right. I also look at this one, too. Someone who is very important to their rotation, George Hill, has still a window to decide to opt out because he wants to. He said himself, the last thing I'm worried about right now is basketball. This was like a week ago, but the way he was talking is as if he's going to go the Avery Bradley route, who has decided not to attend the bubble. Now, he has a child, a six-year-old, that has, you know, some health issues that he is concerned about, as he should be. We've spoken about this before, where they're going to have to make that decision, like Joe Ingles, like now, who was the other one that we were talking about? Not Davies Bertans, but Trevor Ariza with the custody thing where he has his child for a month and he wants to get his son. And Joe Ingles, as we just mentioned, has a child with autism. I don't know that he is going to decide to opt out, but maybe he does. And in this case, Avery Bradley, it's because of his six-year-old son, but we also know that he was in the forefront with Dwight Howard, Kyrie Irving, and Lou Williams saying that they may not play because they need to continue to push the message for the social issues that are going on out there right now. So something like that could help the 76ers if George Hill ultimately decides that I just don't want to play basketball right now. Their talent, their roster is loaded with talent. I'm not ignoring that. I know it. We've seen it. We've seen the Sixers beat them, but we saw the Sixers beat them at home with this 20,000 crowd behind them in this crazy building that we call the center here in Philadelphia. It's going to be tough. It is going to be tough. I know it is. George Hill is a big piece for the Milwaukee Bucks. They have Bledsoe, Matthews, DiVincenzo, Sterling Brown has played in the playoffs, so maybe he can give them some minutes. But George Hill was an important piece to that Bucks team. While he's only George Hill, I know you have Giannis, Middleton, and everyone else making the case. That would be a case for you that they're losing one of their key rotation players that gives you double figures off the bench.
I hear what you're saying, and you're making good making points. If there's unfortunate circumstances in real life that could break the Sixers' way in the basketball world, at the same time, we've watched them lose on the road in front of small crowds to bad teams, non-playoff teams. And I think that's closer to a neutral court situation, playing in front of 5,000 than playing in front of 20,000 at home. And that sits in my mind of, well, if you're losing to those teams or you're in competitive games with those teams, what makes me think that you can actually beat a legitimate contender?
All right. Fair enough, man. Listen, 610-632-0975. Just throwing it out there, your thoughts on what you heard from Brian Windhorst about the 76ers and the bubble, and even Brian from Plymouth Meeting saying, I knew it. Those guys are not going to follow the rules, man. They're not going to follow the protocol there, even though you have that 100-plus page booklet that was put together for the health and safety protocol. Final segment coming up on the other side. We'll break down what we had an opportunity to speak about with you since 6 o'clock, Major League Baseball, the NFL, Shaq being drafted 28 years ago, and the NBA, speaking with Brian Windhorst as well. Final segment, 610-632-0975. That's Josh Rabick. I'm Devon Givens here on The Fanatic. .947 final segment here on The Fanatic. So, by the way, 2 hours ago, I didn't see this one. Did you see this? Maybe you saw this. Josh, U.S. breaks record for most COVID-19 cases recorded in a single day with at least 36,358 new positives reported Wednesday. My goodness. Oh, man. I know the weather is getting nice out there, but my man. Oh, that's, oh man. All right. Well, we've been talking Major League Baseball coming back and how you feel about the Phillies, the rotation, all the new stipulations. Josh, we have to get your thoughts before we get out of here on the second base advancement. NFL having fans in the stands, but who's making that decision of how many can be in attendance? That would be the team and, of course, the state. We got into best sports personalities in honor of Shaquille O'Neal, drafted 26 years ago by the Orlando Magic, one of the greatest players of all time and one of the greatest all-time sports personalities out there as well. So we have a few more minutes. We have a couple of phone calls to get in here. Let's take a couple of them before we get Josh's thoughts on the second base advancement. And we'll do a rapid fire as well of some great sports personalities. Let's go to Lance in Arizona here on The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
What's up, man? So I got a point on the Sixers and a point on the Phillies. On the Phillies, I don't need to see what Jake Arrieta has. There was a reason why Chicago didn't re-sign him. He was on the market forever until his price came down to something where somebody would reasonably give him a contract. I thought the Phillies were dumb giving him that contract at that time. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of teams around the league that thought he was done, and that's why no one was giving him that deal. So to me, I'd rather see what Spencer Howard has, because the only thing that could go wrong with that is he gets hurt, but he could get hurt at any time. I want to see what he has and if he is a legitimate guy for next year when it's going to be 162 games, and have some polish on him going into that year that he could build off of. Jake Arrieta, to me, if you get anything out of him, it's okay. But I look at him as a 4 or 5 starter at this point of his career.
Wow, so you move Howard up, or are you talking maybe moving Eflin up to 3 and putting Howard at 4, Arrieta on the 5?
I would move Eflin up to 3, and I put Arrieta at 4 and Howard at 5. But if you went to a 4-man rotation after 25 games, I'm going with Spencer Howard over Arrieta. Unless Arrieta is pitching like Cy Young or close to what he was, I'm not using him for that. I want to see what Howard has, because I need to know for the future, because Arrieta after this year is not going to be here.
What if they're winning and they have a very good record and they just want to go with who they possibly trust?
Depends on if they're winning because Jake Arrieta is pitching good. Or
yes, that's what I mean, because he's pitching good and they're winning.
No, then I wouldn't do it. If that's the case. But if he's just pitching average, I'm going to go with the younger kid because I need to know. But on the Sixers point, I get what you're saying. They're 29-2, like Brian Windhorst said. But then again, like, I'm with Josh. I've seen them play on the road. They're terrible on the road. Like to me, it's more of a home court advantage for the Sixers playing at home than it is to be in a neutral court and nobody's there for the Sixers.
I agree.
They're just not good on the road. And to me, I don't think they have enough shooting. And I hear the thought of, well, shooting can come and go because you've had that long of a break. Shooters shoot, and they're usually pretty good after about 8 or 9 games to get into a rhythm. They do that. Like, I just don't see it. Like, I don't think the 76ers are constructed well enough to beat some of those teams. Now, maybe it breaks their way with COVID and all that happens, but I just don't think they're better than some of these teams that are going to run into. They haven't shown it all year.
And to your shooting point, that's why when we were speaking on Saturday about Jamal Crawford and J.R. Smith as possibilities, because veterans are able to sign during this period from the 23rd through the 30th, I went lean more towards what J.R. Smith does as a shooter based on what the Sixers do more so than Jamal Crawford. And you saw Jamal Crawford being in Arizona while he was a member of the Suns. We all know and love what he can do, but for this team with how they do it, my personal choice would have been, if they were to choose between the two, J.R. Smith.
Oh, no, I agree. I would go with J.R. Smith over him. I think J.R. Smith has a little more left in the tank, and I think he's probably going to give you a little more.
Yep.
However, I think he's going to go to the Lakers, because once Avery Bradley said he was out, I think LeBron James was just waiting for it. So you're going to go with, like, I would take Jamal Crawford anyway, because I think he's a good bench guy. He's 7, 8, 9 guy off your bench. If you need him, he'd come up and give you 7, 8 points. That's what you need.
They also signed Deion Waiters, people forget, before the COVID hit.
Oh, that's true.
Yep. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
so.
We'll see, man. But quickly, you have a sports personality for us.
Yeah, but this is before he went crazy and then pulled a gun in the locker room. Gilbert Arenas is hilarious. I met him when he was in college here.
Yeah.
He was one of the funniest guys and nicest guys I've ever met, man. Yeah. One of the funniest guys I've ever met.
Yeah, Gil is amazing, man. Thanks so much, man. He still is funny, you know. Thanks for the call. You check him out on social media. He's hilarious. Gilbert Arenas is a really good one. By the way, here's one that's not a good sports personality for me, because sometimes he's just annoying. So LeVar Ball doesn't want LaMelo to go to the Golden State Warriors. Says they got Clay and the other guys, and now you want to put Melo in that mix to say you got to follow these guys? Melo ain't no follower. Come on, man. Haven't we gone through this already?
Like, what does that even mean?
I mean, don't you want to win a title? If you feel like he can help, why? No, just let him help. He'll get his. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are not going to play forever.
Learn from some greats, get championships. Yeah, total follower.
Oh, man. Anyway, quickly, we have about 3 minutes, Josh. Your thoughts on the second base rule, extra innings?
I hate it. It'd be the equivalent if the NFL adopted college football overtime rules. You're putting them right there. Kickers are practically automatic from in that close. It's a baseball. I mean, you're putting a guy in scoring position. Anything you poke through the infield, he's probably going to score. It just seems so different than every other version of baseball you see in the prior innings that it just doesn't even feel part of the game.
Nah, it seems gimmicky. You know what I'm saying? It just seems something
right.
Gimmicky right now. And I know there are a lot of things that you're throwing out there just because this is totally different. But I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Rapid fire. Let's do a couple rapid fire sports personalities. Who you got?
John McEnroe.
Love it.
Yes.
Fantastic one. Marshawn Lynch.
Ooh, that's really good. Man, a few words, but he makes them count.
Yes, he absolutely does make them. That's why I'm saying. I know it's one of those where people be like, well, but he doesn't really do anything. But no, go ahead.
The Skittles go into it and everything too. I'll go Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor, great one. No one said that one at all. All right, how about this one? We got this one on social media. I was waiting for it. Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'll stay with you since we're in boxing. I'll go Mike Tyson.
Mm.
He said some controversial things, don't get me wrong, but they still count it.
All right. That's a really good one. I'll stick to boxing. Floyd Mayweather.
Really good one. And there's proof with that one based on kind of the pay-per-view numbers. He's the highest pay-per-view seller of anybody in the combat sports world.
Yeah. All right. You get the final one before we sign off.
I'm going to go T.O.
T.O. is fantastic. Right? Where was that one?
I was expecting that one. We got that in this city.
Where was that one for people? Amazing. Josh, great stuff as always, man. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Again, a few people gave us Muhammad Ali, Magic Johnson on Twitter as well. Jim McMahon, we also got. That's a very, very good one as well. But listen, I'll be back on Friday, 6 o'clock. The NBA will release the schedule. I don't know what time as of yet. But we will get the NBA schedule on Friday, it appears. So get ready for that. Joe Torre tomorrow at 6. Josh, thanks so much. All the callers, tweets, thank you as well. And we will certainly talk to you on Friday at 6 o'clock. Have a great night. Have a great Thursday. Talk to you Friday here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.